Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, boy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Boy, got that box up in me, man. Got that clown food up in me, man. I got caught going to get it, too.
You just couldn't wait, could
thought
you?
Thought I was being sneaky.
Carlos is always circling around you.
I know.
Talking
I know.
Your every movement.
But praise the Lord for that clown. I'm energized. I'm ready to clown for y'all right now. Pastor Corey Coleman over here. Mr. Martin Thomas, how you doing?
Doing well. Doing well.
Looking slick today. How you doing, man?
Not bad. Not bad.
Not bad. Me either, man. You know, you doing good. I'm doing great, sir.
Martha, if you like it, I love it.
Martha, let me take it down a notch. Settle your ass down. How y'all doing today? Got a good show for you today. You know, the Oscars are approaching and people have been mad. But people who don't care about the Oscars, they sure get mad over that.
That's my favorite thing. People saying, I don't give a shit about the Oscars. It's like, sounds like you do.
Yeah, don't give a shit about the Oscars until the Oscars.
God damn it.
Last night had a hour talk about Black Panther with people who don't give a fuck about the Oscars.
Oh, no.
If y'all don't give a fuck about the Oscars, let me go to bed. No, I'll tell y'all about that a little bit. But
y'all wanna hear about that.
Yeah, man. But since, you know, the Oscars are coming up and people are talking about the things that they're upset with, not getting nominated, they call it snubbed. Well, you know what? At least they got some attention. You know, some of these things out there at least got mentioned in that area. Even if they didn't get a nomination, people at least care.
Right.
People at least mad about
somebody
it.
Somebody even said the words, you got snubbed.
Yeah, somebody
which said
gives
that. You some kind of gravitas.
Yeah, yeah. Somebody starting an online petition that ain't going to do shit, you know? People, he did one.
Avengers, goddammit.
I will avenge you. But yeah, but there are some movies out there that are getting no love at all that actually deserve a lot more attention than some of these movies that were probably nominated.
Sure.
And, you know, it's still a personal thing, but Martin and I, we got together and we got a list of things, of movies that we feel are very overlooked. And very underrated. And when I say underrated, man, they got critical acclaim. You know, they got some
some cult status.
Yeah. Maybe they even had a week where people are saying, hey, this is what you got to go see. But after that, it was done.
It was done.
Yeah. So we're going to try to give these movies some love today and give you a list of the most, in our opinion, for us, our own list of overlooked movies of 2018. And, it's going to be a full day. I don't know if we'll get through everything because, man, there's a lot of stuff happened.
Yeah, usually you ask me for a list. I'm like, well, here's two or three things I could think of. But I was like, oh, you want that list? Well, here you go.
Oh, Martin, but this week a lot of stuff has happened. Some of this stuff needs to filter over into the foolishness tomorrow. But I'm on
you. You mean out in the world?
Out in the world. Oh, out in the world, Martin.
How much of it happened in Florida?
None.
Really? Florida took a weekend off?
This is the one time Florida just said, you know what, I can't do nothing with this. For once, Florida said, I'm going to sit back and watch.
I want to see what it's like.
Well, for what?
That's how I look.
Yeah, man. For one, Trump lost that wall. DMX got out of jail.
What?
DMX got out of jail and it's just...
Well, now we need the wall.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
To protect Mexico.
Martin, if a jail cell can't keep him, a wall ain't going to do nothing. You can build that wall all you want to. He'll bust it like Kool-Aid, man. Oh, yeah.
DMX is loose.
DMX is loose, man. Martin, DMX is loose. And we used to, because usually when we say things, somebody's loose at large, that means they just pop up in random places and attack. That's DMX.
Yeah.
Talk about that. Bill Maher acting a fool still. He still won't let it go, man.
Why would he let it go? It's getting him attention.
I know, but I want to tell people how to handle this because we've all been going about it the wrong way. You know, we all said we had to say, and he's still trying to keep it going. I want to tell y'all how to handle Bill Maher. You know, just we'll let you know. And what else? We got the box office this weekend. What else happened? Emails.
Yeah, box office. Box office is boring.
Box office. Is it boring? No, actually, it's not. It's not. Well, maybe. No.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I've seen it. It's boring.
Okay. Well, Martin, if you say so. The Thomas has spoken. I like, he just told me anyway. No, I've seen it. It's boring. But it's boring. All right, okay. Yes, sir. Okay, then. There's some other things that I know I'm probably missing, but you know, that's enough. That's enough. I mean, we may not even get to all of that, but we'll see what we can do. Oh, let me go ahead and welcome these other folks up in here. Let's see what we got. Oh, let me see here. Oh, there they go. They are jumping, they're hooping, they're hollering up there. They are excited. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome. They got the spirit today. The chatter-tat-tat. Look at that. Woo! Yeah! They're excited. Blues Brothers. My favorite one. The jumping Negroes part. You know? I love that. Yeah, man. That's just like a real... I remember when that movie came out, all my white friends were asking me, do they really do that in your church? I just told them, oh, man, shit, nah. We do more.
No, that's tame.
Yeah, shit. We set rings on fire and jump through them.
That's a boring church to us.
Oh, yeah. That's nothing. That's Methodist. You should see what the Baptists do. Yeah, man, we bring in elephants and shit. Yeah, it's crazy. Let me see here. So, you're talking about DMX. He'll be back by summer.
I know.
Oh, yeah, man. They talking about, man, he never talked about John Wick. Man, John, I love John Wick, man. I do.
Nobody loves John Wick more than this guy right here.
I do, man. But it was just the day when some other stuff was happening and we
it's
missed
old
it.
Now.
Yeah, it's, yeah. 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 Look at that.
Let's talk about replicas.
Yeah. Again. No, really, let's talk about that. What the hell are you thinking, Mr. Wick? Oh. What we got? I know I'm missing. Oh. Oh, that's what it is. I kept thinking, what am I missing here? Oh, my cutie pie, man. They done
No, what happened?
I don't like the image that's being put out there right now.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll see if we get to it. You know, somebody done turned my heartthrob. Somebody done turned the love of my life into something vile and evil.
Oh no!
And I don't know how I feel about this. I don't know if I like it. People talking about don't praise this shit because I don't like that image. It doesn't make me feel right about him. You might know who I'm talking about.
I think I know who you're talking about, but I forgot what the thing is.
Yeah, well, I'll let you know. I'll save that as a surprise just in case we even get to it. Excuse me. Had to get that out. That clown's still in my throat. Yeah, you've been sucking that clown dick. That's why. Yep. Yes, I have. Yeah, I was going over to... I thought I was being slick.
Were you wearing your Groucho glasses?
And nose? Yeah, I had a hoodie on and my shades and, you know, driving all low.
I'll have two jumbo jacks.
Yeah. Yeah, this man, I went, let me see here. Oh, the chat, Resident Evil. Oh, they asking about the Resident Evil remake. Mark is asking the chat. I'm playing it. Go watch our Twitch stream. We did very well last night. We did about a 4-hour session almost of Resident Evil 2. They remade the game and had a lot of fun, man. A lot of people who were new people tuned in. I have this goal for our Twitch channel because I was telling Chris this last night. I have a woman rep and she comes around and now she helps me out so much and she's like believing in me so much. I feel like she's like my Twitch mama.
Uh-huh.
And I want to make
her
proud.
You don't want to let her down.
I want to buy my mama a house one day. Yeah, man, I don't want to let it down. I don't want to Twitch down. So we got a goal, 200 viewers at least. You know, I'm being very modest, too. I'm being very realistic. 200 views on the regular by December 2019. Hopefully we can get that. Last night we got like 115. So, okay. You know.
Getting closer.
Getting closer. You know, step by step, Martin. Mm-hmm. Martin, we're going to make it. You know? We're going to get that four ankles. Four ankles. And you get that before you get acres, bitch. Yeah, man. We're gonna get that one day. We're going to get to the Twitch promised land. Hopefully with your help. I was going over. I was driving by the studio, and I get this text from this dude over here. Let me in, and I just ignored it because I was like, that's Carlos. I ain't got shit to say to him. So I just, all right, whatever. And then he says, I know you're going to Jack in the Box, and I was like, shit.
What the fuck? Was he right behind you at the time?
That's what I was wondering. I didn't know if he was following me, like running behind the car. Yeah, I see you. It's like
a Terminator 2 style.
Yeah. Yeah. Bring me back a Jumbo Jack. Creepy fuck. Yeah,
he's like the Eye of Sauron. He sees you everywhere.
Yeah, I know, man. I know. The Puerto Rican Eye of Sauron. Coming over here, looking at everything. He sent me a text of him in the hospital. Oh. When he's, I don't know, what, your lung collapsed or something? What happened? Breathing mask. Breathing mask. And he's like, I don't know if I'll ever see you again.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, yes!
Just give it a bunch of hearts.
Shit, if I had known you'd be back, I would have went to the hospital and smudged you myself. God damn. Thought I was winning, man. Thought you were gone. No.
Get the pillow.
Yeah. Shh. Yeah. You know, because he would still be cussing under that pillow. Fuck you, bitch. You motherfucker will never kill me.
Get off me, man.
I'll fucking kill you. The hell you will. Shut up. Yeah, yeah, but he's back. Shit.
Can't get rid of him.
That goddamn cockroach over there.
It's a Puerto Rican.
Let me see here. Evan X. I'm talking to people in the chat. Yeah, some people in the chat tuned in last night. Hey, we went long. One person said, man, I got drunk and I couldn't keep up no more. Hey, that's what happens, man. And we are tame by comparison. Some people stream for 5 and 6 hours, man.
Jesus.
Yeah, yeah, man. That's how people get out there and start making a living from it. They just sit there, wake up, they just sit in that chair and just stream all goddamn day, man.
And people watch that.
And people watch it, man. People watch it. They donate. They, you know, I'm having a great time. Yeah, you know, shit, I'm running long gas. Let me just Twitch real quick. Give me some gas money. Want a Jumbo Jack? Let me just Twitch for about 15 minutes.
Well, that's what all those federal employees should have been doing.
Yeah. And they playing a game trying to climb a wall.
I want to hear about you not getting your paycheck. Yeah. You should be on Twitch.
Yeah.
It's your fault.
Exactly, Martin. Goddamn people. What do they want?
Oh, you want to be paid to do your job? What?
I mean, they've been paying him all this time. A couple of weeks ain't going to hurt him. Saying, yeah, shut the fuck up. You lucky to have a job. Damn. Let's get that wall up, man. Maybe that would have stopped him from getting over here.
Nah.
I'll tell you what, he's not from Mexico, but if he was, he would be the reason why a wall would not work.
Be like, I am against setting up these borders with our neighbors. We need to talk to people. Wait, well, but you know, maybe there's something to this.
Yeah, yeah. This fool would, he would do a Bugs Bunny and just dig a hole and
right?
Come out on the other side. Yeah, I'm telling you.
Miami Beach at last.
Yeah, look at Skull. You're talking about 8 to 12 hours on Twitch is the only way to make a living. I don't know about that. I don't know about 8 to 12 hours. I know some people doing pretty well. Just doing like about 5. But yeah, it's.
And you stopped at 4.
I stopped at 4.
What's
man,
the matter, dude?
I don't know, man.
Put in an extra effort.
Come
on.
I'm a lazy son of a bitch, trifling ass.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Oh, yeah. 8 to 12 hours. That's a little much, man. That's a little much. I don't know. That's still going to have to be a side hustle until I don't know. But I like it, man. I can see if I. Listen, just one day. Because it's weird. You know, it's like. You know, like on YouTube and on this, they keep saying how we're the exception, you know, like
how so?
Well, just being an older person that just kind of keeps getting a younger demographic. You
oh,
know?
Okay.
I don't know how, you know, I'm not trying to do it because I even tell people, I'm like, look, I'm old and I don't know how to play this shit. I'll tell you that right now. So y'all just going to see me die over and over again.
I'm just going to mash buttons until something happens.
Yeah, yeah. Even though last night I was doing well, man, I died just once and it was because of Chris Herman.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, because in the game, so you play this game Resident Evil, man, and of course you're shooting zombies if you know anything about the game. Except in this one, they really fool you, man, because they got you, like, you kill them, and you just can't double tap. You got to quadruple tap sometimes.
Okay.
Yeah, and so I shot this zombie about 3 times in the head, and she just lying there. And Chris Herman's like, oh, yeah, she's dead. And I said, all right, and I walk, and I was this low on health, and I walk right past, and she grabbed me by my shoelaces, bitch, come here. Bitten to my toes. You should have seen my character, like, shit. And just, I died right there, man. And And that was the only time. So out of 4 hours, I didn't die once, man. I was kind of proud of myself.
Well, you've been playing Resident Evil since it started.
I'm a veteran at those games, yeah, man. Yeah.
So no, you should be good at it.
No. And especially since I've been practicing because I've been playing these Resident Evil games leading up to the part. Like, now, come on. Now, God damn it.
You going off into the woods to practice. No, faster.
Yeah. I'm out there killing hobos and shit.
You'll help me on Twitch. Sweep the leg, Corey.
Yeah. Yeah, man. No, it's a lot of fun. I've been playing a bunch of games and whatnot, so I'm having a great time, man. So yeah, if you ever want to go over there and check it out, we've been doing it consistently every Saturday, and also made a show out of it. Now we kind of have a format and everything. We actually do game and discussion and all that kind of stuff. Got a new name, but I ain't gonna tell you what it is. You just have to see.
Okay.
No, because exactly. The way you made fun of me on that pizza, I ain't telling you this name.
Oh man, come on. You still heard about the pizza?
Oh hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Boy, you really are Stan Laurel. Come on. That was a month ago.
Oh no. Oh well, shit. Wait till 16 years from now.
Hey, girl, you a man, that pizza, it was good, and you betrayed me. God damn you. That's when you hit me in the head with a roll. Okay. You didn't believe in me.
Shut the fuck up and eat your food, man.
Speaking of pizza.
Yeah. Oh. Let me see what else. Oh, let me welcome you guys up in here today. And I'm talking about, yes, you sitting at home right now. You've been running them streets last night. Been up all up in hoes, sinning. Yeah, probably been doing all kind of drinking and drugs and all that. We got one right here. Look at him. He's still high as fuck. Look at him. Yeah, man, you need to get off that shit, man. I'm telling you. Oh, they look! You know why wearing them sleeves don't want to show them heroin tracks?
Hoodies are perfect for that.
He's probably been shooting into his ears or something. You know, look at this guy. You cover up, but I know what you've been doing. You can't hide from God, aka Corey Coleman. He saw. I know you're going to buy heroin. Bring me back a jumbo jack. What's your name? What's his name?
Joe.
We've just met. Joe, yeah. Good to see you, man. Joe, I know you've been out there sinning. I can smell it off of you. I'm glad you're here today, though, because we can help you get some more. Are you down for that?
Of course.
I've got like, shit, I was just joking. He's like, yeah. I was just waiting for her to ask.
I knew you had the hookup, man.
Yeah, man. Oh, Joe, slow down, man. Slow down. You know, first, let's start slow. First, you know, at least email me at kcoolmans@gmail.com. That's kcoolmanz @gmail.com. You email us with any kind of questions, comments, compliments, insults, input, and our advice. Now, do you want to be a part of the show today? Well, in that email, put your phone number there, put your Skype contact in there, the Google Hangouts, anything else you think we might need to get hold of you. Bam! Up in your home, bringing the spirit to you. Oh, shit, knocked him across the room. The only pastors in the world to bring the spirit to you to make the house calls. On the Instagram, type in _toasted. On Facebook, type in _toasted. For some private time with me, type in corey.coleman.5. I'm out there privately delivering some sin to you. Mr. Minister Martin Thomas, can you help me?
You can easily find me on Twitter and Instagram at Martin_NoFro. Or if you try a little harder, you can find me on Facebook.
Or if you try real hard and bring your ass down here to the world-famous Double Toaster Studios, you might see Martin sitting on one of these two stank-ass couches. All you got to do is email us, kcoolmans@gmail.com. Let us know if you're visiting Austin. You have visited here, got drunk, and can't make your way back home, so you're just gonna live here. That's fine. Just come down and see a show. We'll forgive you. But the ultimate sin is we do not. So please email us, kcoolmans@gmail.com. Give us some details. We're gonna give you back some details. We're gonna coordinate with each other. That way we can accommodate you. I wanna thank, what? I'm not spinning. Fuck, no, hell no.
In season two, we don't spend anymore.
No, we don't. We do if we got enough people in here. Oh, okay. You know, that are worthy.
Spending for just two people.
Yeah, I don't care about Carlos and Joe. I don't know you yet, man. You ain't earned no spin from me, sir. I do want to come on there and spin and fucking kick you in the face is what I'll do. You know what? I do want to thank you. I'm just getting violent with them. Mark looking at me like, what?
The guy's just sitting there.
I'm not talking about Joe. I'm talking about Carlos.
No, I know you talking about Carlos.
Oh.
Sitting there. He's just sitting there laughing.
I didn't even think about that. I just looked him in the face, and I just like, I just want to kick in your face right now. But I do want to thank you for building that computer, man. It's amazing. It really is. I know I give you a hard time, but I've been at first I was wondering because that's one of the things about Twitch is like when you're learning how to like maneuver around it, you just don't feel like you know what you're doing, and it feels like you're just wasting your time. You spend all this money on equipment to make it work, and after a while, I was like, man, this is one of the best investments I have ever done. So thank you, sir, for that. Yeah, man, just fucking say you're welcome. Jesus Christ. Like, everybody, see, that's why you can't apologize. Like, you can't apologize or thank this bitch right here. You know, I can't do, you can't treat him nice. And you wonder why I want to kick him in his face.
Well, do you ever notice the webcam light come on when you're not on the computer?
What?
That's what I'd be afraid of. That he installs some kind of back door that's just spying on me the whole time.
Oh, that's why I rub my dick on that cam all the time. Yeah, you see this, Carlos? In case you looking. You want to spy on something? Spy on this, bitch.
Yeah,
going to Jack in the Box. You want a jumbo Jack? How about a jumbo Coleman right here? Yeah, can't be nice to you, man. Can't be. I'm thanking you for this. Is that an apology? Ain't apologizing for shit. Apologize for what? For you still being alive? And you like, he's just sitting there. Nah, I know what goes behind his dark ass mind over there. I know this man. You don't know this man like I do.
He's always nice to me.
Yeah, to you. Because you ain't indebted to him like I am. You don't have to eat his shit like I do. I really don't know if he has a kill switch on the computer or not. Fuck a kill switch. He may have a bomb in that shit.
I'm just thinking he's just being able to spy on you whenever he wants.
Oh, no. He'll just come to the house. Believe me. That fucking smile on his face. Ding, ding, ding. My wife getting mad. Did you invite somebody over there telling me again? No, I didn't. And opened up the door. Like, hello. Are you cooking something? Yeah, I know this man over here. Well, he just sitting there. No, he never just sits there. That motherfucker's always plotting. And see, all that and that shit too. All that weird shit. Hey, baby. I was texting me. Hey, baby. How you doing today?
I mean, but the photos show you feeding him.
What's that?
Showed you feeding him.
No. Oh, the photo. Oh, yeah. No, I did. I did to put some in
the
what
are you talking about? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I did to make him shut up. That's why. Here, eat this. Shut the fuck up.
That was Mitchell. That was consent.
He can't even eat quiet. Just to eat the fucking food. We know it's good. By the way, that's a napkin. That's not even food.
What is this? We don't have this in Puerto Rico.
This pastry.
You sure? I'm pretty sure the president threw those out to you.
Yeah, we use that to wipe our ass, man. God.
Is it better that way?
No, hell no. Nothing normal with this man over here. How you doing, man?
Not bad.
Oh, boy, let me tell you something, man. I went to a coffee shop yesterday with my wife, and I was doing some work out there. And this guy walks by and runs into my chair. I know somebody just like slamming my chair. And you know me, back in the day, I would have been like, who the fuck you think you are? But you know, I just turned around, I was like,
right.
And I saw somebody, and it's a good thing I didn't.
It's always a good thing when you don't.
Because you know me. Because back in the day, I would have been like, who the fuck you think you pushing on y'all? Oh shit, you're blind. I'm sorry. And that's exactly what it was, man. This dude was blind and had walked into my chair. And so
you totally cussed out a blind dude in a movie theater one time.
I should be.
We were at the Blair Witch.
Yeah, it gets deeper, man. We were at the Blair Witch 2. Yeah, yeah. And the movie. I'm already mad because mad.
Everybody's hating the movie, but this guy's loud about it.
And he's just laughing. And I just finally get tired of it. I just like, shut the fuck up. It ain't that goddamn funny. Yeah. The theater starts laughing and shit and everything. And then when we're done, we're walking out and this guy comes up and he's like, hey, Corey, was that you that told me to shut the fuck up? And I was like, oh, shit, I know this guy. And I turned around like, Jesus, I do know this guy, and he's blind. Yeah.
His eyes look like those blue crystal mints.
It's that, like, he looks like some shit that, like, Thor would be fighting, you know?
He does. He totally does.
Yeah, he's got those kind of eyes and shit, you know? His eye, that kind of cool, actually. Like, they're very intense, light blue. Like, people.
Like, if you had those eyes and you could see, that would be awesome. You could work that shit.
Yeah. Like during the day, people think he's blind, but at night, they think he's a vampire. So it's badass, actually. It's not, he's actually a good looking guy, too, But yeah, I was just like, fuck, I nothing ever is that simple. Mm-hmm. With me, shutting the fuck up is never simple. Mm-hmm. Telling somebody to shut the fuck up is never simple.
No. I mean, nothing beats the time you cross the movie theater to go tell off a girl. When you got up on her, you realized that she was mentally disabled.
I cussed out a mentally disabled girl. Not woman, but little girl. And her mother clenched her like I was about to. I've never felt so horrible in my life.
That was a Ricky Gervais moment.
It was. Some of y'all have heard this story. I forgot what movie we were watching. Do you remember?
I want to say it was one of the 50 Shades. No, it wasn't a 50 Shades.
No, it was something. It was something a little more innocent. But we kept hearing this person. Like, people would laugh, and after it was done, you know,
talking through the movie.
And yeah, kind of moaning and talking. And I was like, they got one more fucking time to say something and laugh that hard. I swear to God. And sure enough, and I was like, enough is enough. And I got up and I was in the front.
Front row.
So you saw my silhouette walking with a purpose.
Long strides walking over there. Yeah, with purpose. And then slowly coming back with your head down.
Yeah. I walked over there. I was like, if you. And I saw this woman just clutching her child and her child like. And I was like. Oh my God! I had no words to say it. I couldn't say I'm sorry. I was just like,
oh God. I'm a monster.
And everybody's looking at me like, what happened?
You don't
want to know. You really don't want to know, man. Yeah, that dude had eyes like that, man. Gene put him in there. Yeah, they were eyes like that. But yeah, I came back. So I kind of learned I've even been trying to atone for that day. Like I learned to like kind of just be mellow, just you know, suck it up sometimes, just deal with it. I really am a more calm person, calmer person.
You really are. If it gets to you too much, you'll get up and change seats.
Yeah. Today when people talk in movies, I either understand that the crowd is loving it or if somebody's being loud. I just like, all right, if nobody else is saying anything, I don't want to start any trouble.
Except in Venom when you invite that guy to step outside so you can kick his ass.
Oh, that wasn't even Venom. That movie wasn't even worth it.
What was it?
Venom? It was a shitty movie, man. It was at the Alamo.
Huh.
It was something.
I think it was Venom.
It was Peppermint.
Peppermint, that's what it was. Yes.
Yeah, man. Yeah, Peppermint. Yeah, except for that one time when that dude. But you know that was.
I know. No.
I was trying to be nice.
He pushed it. He pushed.
He really did. He cussed out the manager, and then I said, and I was being nice. I said, hey, man, people trying to watch the movie. You know, be cool. Fuck you too.
I don't know you.
Yeah, I was like, okay, yeah, you want to fuck me? Let's go fuck me outside. Catch me outside. Want to see me come back and shit?
I just like that you issued the challenge to him and stood there waiting for him. Like, no, you wouldn't even give him an option. It was, come on, let's go on outside and take care of this.
And like I said, I've been getting by on being loud and being tall because people don't know. Because every time somebody comes to town, y'all think this goofy shit. Y'all think I'm like 4 feet or something. Y'all really think I'm like y'all see Corey Coleman and think I'm Gary Coleman and shit. And so. And then people be coming in here ready to talk shit, and they just be like, oh, God.
Yeah, Corey, where's Corey's goofy ass hole?
I ain't saying I'm the biggest dude. I ain't saying I can do anything. Look, I don't even play that. I don't even want to say who I can beat and who I can't. I'm not a fighter, man. I'm just trying to be cool. And I'm really trying to atone for some of the things I've done in the past. And this blind dude hit my chair. And before I could say anything, I saw this girl around the corner. She said, hey, there's a seat right over here. Do you want to come sit down? And the guy, he went over there and was like, thank you. Thank you. That's wonderful. Thank you. And I'm like, okay, cool. You know, so we got that settled. Then he pulled out his computer, put it on the table, and then came time to plug that shit in. And he was aiming for the plug and was missing that shit. Uh-huh. And I saw him trying to go for it, and then I said, okay, you know what? Well, the girl is gone. No one's around but me, except for some people on the side who are far away. I said, all right.
I said, yes.
Now, this is where a better Corey Coleman mm-hmm. is coming in and can show that I have improved in my life. I went over there and said, hey, look, man, I can help you out. And he didn't say anything, so I don't know if he could hear where I was coming from. So I said, I tried to grab the plug, and he's like, nah, yeah! I was like, really? I'm not exaggerating, man.
I believe you.
And I was like, okay, maybe I surprised him. I was like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm sitting right here, sir. I'm sorry. Let me go in and help you. Because he pulled the hand back up and trying to put the plug back in. I touched him. He's like, and this time wasn't even like scared. He was like, man, like, shut up. And I was like, okay, I'm just trying to help you, man. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, when this fucking chick over, this little blonde white chick, helped him out. He was cool. I said, shit, he must smell the nigga off me. You know what I'm saying? I was like, damn, man. What happened? What turned here? You know, you were taking help a little while ago.
He probably wants no help. He probably didn't even want her help. Well, but he's obligated to take it.
Well, he was real cool. He was like, thank you, man. Thank you. You know?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was like, thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you. With me, he just went full fucking, you know, mentally challenged. And people started looking like, what the fuck you doing to this guy? people from inside the coffee shop, that you could see them like from the windows, like, what's going on out there? People.
Was the music from Curb Your Enthusiasm playing in the background?
Shit, I was about to curb my enthusiasm and beat his ass. No, I'm a different person. No.
You're gonna be Michael J. fucked up in a minute.
Because this is where I was just kind of like, old shit was coming back. Because I was like, man, calm your fucking ass down, all right? It's me while I'm about to grab his hand. Motherfucker's right here. Let me go. No, you're gonna plug this. I'm gonna help you. You can plug this shit in with my help. But I. God damn it.
Only you.
I'm being nice. But people are looking, and I just kind of backed off.
Yeah.
And he was still, and at this point, that's what I was thinking. I was like, okay, please don't let this blind motherfucker, you know, be one of these white people that call the police. I just like, really, man, you can't even see color. How are you going to call the police on me? You know, but then he was trying to be considerate and being kind of mean at the same time. Cause I was backed off.
Sure.
And he was still like, I just feel like I'm bothering you. I don't want to bother anybody. And I was just like, man, I'm 10 feet away from you at this point. I'm not even fucking with you right now, man. Shut the fuck up. Before one of these blonde Bettys around here to like call the police on me, man. You know, that's when you get scared and shit. Cause everybody, you know, all they're going to see is this like 6'4" black dude standing over this blind little, this skinny blind dude, this skinny white blind dude. I mean, a blonde dude, you know, just, hey man, let me help you out. And, you know, people are
how old was the guy?
He looked to be about 30.
Okay.
Like 29, 28, 30. Mm. And all people going to see is me just over there beating his ass. Cause that's what somebody would tell. Eyewitnesses would be like, "Yes, I think he was trying to take his computer." You know what I mean? The guy just sat down and was just trying to work, and this guy just grabbed his computer. I'm telling you, it was the most pitiful thing I've ever seen.
Well, that's what you get for trying to help.
Yeah, man. That's what I said. No good deed goes unpunished, man. And I just once he called me, and this was the real kicker right here. Like nobody freaked out. Everybody kind of saw it for what it was. But this one dude, he did look at me. And he, even when it was done, this dude turned over, who was sitting like about three chairs down. He looked at me. He's like, I think he wants to do it himself.
Did nobody ask?
Yeah, I was just like, yeah. And he had that look that he didn't say it. But he had that look like, dumbass. You fucking idiot. He wants to do it himself. Leave him alone. You know, I'm just like... I was like, Jesus, man. Let me just sit down and be quiet. I just put my headphones on and started working. But it was funny because after that dude was done and he started packing his shit up, he pulled that chair and started walking, and I got the fuck out the way. He started walking and I got
gonna say he pulled his glasses down and winked at you.
I see you. Y'all sick dick.
Leave him alone.
Yeah, what are you doing, sir? He's not bothering you. But when he got up and started walking, I got off the sidewalk like he was a neighborhood bully. I was like, no. You should have seen me looking at his ass. Is he gone? Yeah, it was a combination of embarrassment and just fear.
Of course.
Yeah, because dude screaming like that, shit, that wasn't just a regular, like, you know, attack scream. That was like, this dude's about to rape me scream, you know? He's like that fucking dude that was getting arrested. Get your head off my penis! Uh-huh. What penis?
I might touch you.
Yeah, the whole time, wife was gone. her and the dogs. Moment they left, he said, "Okay, man, how you doing, baby?" I was like, "Just don't ask. Don't worry." Boy, can't do nothing nice.
Yeah, I know.
Meanwhile, asshole, of course, someone just laughing. You gonna need me one day. You'll be back. We're gonna be friends again.
No, I can handle this one. I think he wants to do it himself.
What you say? He winked at me. Guess what? I'm not really blind. You're not blind. I've never seen anything like that before. It freaked me out. And plus, he was that blind too. He must like not be used to like, he must, I think there must be like,
it's probably new for him.
Well, no, it's not new for him. Cause he's been blind for a long time. Cause he had that blind look, you know, where everything looks like it's like causing him an orgasm or something. You know, he's like, you know how Ray Charles, when he played the piano, it was so good. He's uh-huh. Yeah. So he was on his computer and he was just like, and I was just like, what level of blindness is that?
Maybe he's got other stuff going on.
That's what I thought. Yeah. And when he did that, I thought there must be some sort of autism going on with it too.
Yeah, just like he just didn't like being touched.
He didn't like being touched. Yeah, because I just barely like rub skin with him. He's just like, yeah.
Oh, maybe you built up a big static chunk. He's gonna be electrocuted by the plug.
I could see that. Man, I was out on a cold, crispy night, and this furry-ass cat came by my leg and was brushing up against it. I didn't know this could happen. I went down to pet him, and I saw all this electricity on that cat. And I just saw a blue blur just run down the street.
Yeah, that always freaked me out, because I remember being a small kid. You know, you knew there was static electricity. You hear it crackling all, maybe feel a little bit. But it wasn't until I was a little bit old and had a brand new pair of pajamas I pulled out of the plastic and put on in the dark and could just see the sparks everywhere.
Yeah.
And I was like, what?
Yeah. And you could hear the crackle.
Yeah.
that cat said, yeah! Oh, I felt bad. I was like, I didn't mean to do it. I'm sorry.
Oh, a little bit more, you can set him on fire.
Shit, I hate to keep making this reference, but I look like Thor when I touch his ass. Just saw thunder and lightning all in his fur. But yeah, man, if any blind people out there, I don't mean any offense or anything like that. I'm not trying to make fun of blind people. It's just that was a weird experience for me with that particular guy. Nothing against blind people. I'm not mad at him at all. In fact, I wish he could see all this merch from dtmerch.com. fuck you. No, fuck you, man. No,
that was bad.
No, that was not bad. I liked it.
Well, of course you liked it.
I love it.
For nobody else.
It was great. People like, shit, I wish we were deaf and blind right now. Oh, he could have seen the classic black tee with the white logo. Martin, you could have seen the colors on that logo on the colored shirt right there. Oh, Martin, you know what? Let's see here. Yeah, I think he's the only one that wouldn't know the difference between the stew pot and
he'd be the first one to figure it out.
You think he'd be the first one to figure it out? You stupid asses. These are cups, not stew pots. Oh, let's see here. Oh, there we go. Yeah. No.
Above that, he says, I give that a fuck you.
No, that's Marcus. I always ignore Marcus, and he don't know what's going on. let's see here. Got the phone covers, all that good stuff in there. Go look at it. It's all there in there for you. And please subscribe. That's all I'll say. You can try the site 7 days for free. If you don't like it, then that's fine. Keep audio. Audio is free for you all the time. But do keep in mind that we get by on your support. So if you can, subscribe and help us out. And if you don't do it for yourself, then do it for all those people out there that are not fortunate enough to have that toasted goodness all over their bodies, Martin. This is not funny, Martin. There's people out there like that. It's not a laughing matter. It's very sad. I wish you wouldn't do this, make light of this. You're just an asshole. I expect you to laugh. You too, John, Joe, whatever the hell your name is.
Doesn't matter.
Let me see. You're just a junkie anyway. I don't care. He's like, yeah. He's like, what? He's like, man, you just met me. How did you know?
Yeah.
Oh, let's see. Yeah. Oh.
Oh, you just show that label off big. You
did
commercials for them now?
Ooh, I did not mean to do that. I really did not mean it.
It was like you did it on purpose, where you had it turned perfectly. It took a long, slow sip.
It's just so good, man. Martin has me drinking, a LaCroix knockoff right here, which is just as good. But I just started getting into these because they are bubbly, and mm-hmm. they help me with my heartburn.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
That's, and they're tasty.
And they're tasty, too. I've noticed lately that since I've been drinking those, I have really not had a big case of a heartburn
good.
Like I usually do.
Good.
Somebody was telling me that they said that these aren't good for you, and I told them that you said they are.
Well, there's no sugar in them whatsoever. If they're saying they're bad for you, there's some people who talk about carbonation being bad. Like, you know, there's so many different studies that say different things. Jesus. And one is that, well, carbonation leaches the density from your bones.
Oh, go fuck you.
No.
God damn. You take everything. Let me have bubbles.
Right.
Just bubbles, man. That's all. Ain't nothing but air. Just nice, no gluten, low calorie, sugar-free bubbles. Fuck. Let me have it. You know, it's actually doing some good.
I know, it's helping you out.
Jesus, man, somebody, you always gonna get that one guy that's gonna find something wrong with everything. Everything, man. God damn.
Man, I went to a warming party yesterday afternoon, and the host.
Anybody know?
Yeah, Rick Claw.
Oh, okay, yeah, Rick, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And Rick has been, he's had MS for decades now, probably mm-hmm. longer than most people mm-hmm. who've been alive. He was telling me how they were going to put him on this one drug, but they didn't because the side effect was leukemia. And I was like, how is that? Wait, leukemia is listed as a side effect? How is that a thing?
How is that a side effect?
Right.
Pretty soon they're going to say death is a side effect. Yeah. I mean, I guess it is.
So do you want it or not?
Well, Martin, it's an effect, and you get on the side. You know, I guess leukemia. Now y'all pulling some game on people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
y'all really. I don't know if they really are testing Darwinism out.
Right.
Because if you're taking some shit that causes leukemia, you deserve it. You deserve to have it. if you're gonna sit up there and take a glass full of leukemia, okay, refreshing leukemia.
But it'll help my psoriasis, so let's go for it.
Yeah. I took this acne medicine. What are the side effects? Well, your face will fall off, but you have no more acne.
Sign me up.
Leukemia. You see, they're getting with these now. It used to be diarrhea was a side effect, sure. And people were even. They remember back in the day when that was a thing. Like, man, I want diarrhea.
Right.
Well, you want to get better.
Well, I love that for the anti-anxiety medicine. Diarrhea will be a side effect. And I'm like, I think the diarrhea would cause me anxiety.
No, you shit it out, man. You see, I get how it works. No, man, they start out with, yeah, you are right. It's like, damn, my stomach is hurting. I don't feel this. This is causing me a lot of stress. This is stupid. You see how they just easing people into it? It used to be diarrhea. Then it used to be diarrhea and hair loss.
Then they start adding suicidal thoughts.
And then they said suicide. Wait, what?
What?
That's a side effect, wanting to hang myself? And it, okay, again, that's Darwinism in effect. Like, if you're going to take something that will actually make you off your own self, and by the way, that gets the company off because they're like, well, shit, we didn't pull the trigger. Yeah, hey, he did it himself. We gave him the thoughts. We didn't tell him to do it. We told him to think about it.
There's one drug that causes an addiction to gambling.
There's a drug that causes
an addiction to gambling?
That's not an addiction. No, that's not a side. That is not a side effect. That is something that's giving you gambling. Uh-huh. This shit that.
We bet this won't cause an addiction to gambling.
Yeah, it used to be diarrhea. Can you hear? Do you hear this shit? Diarrhea, hair loss, suicidal thoughts. Oh, it might give you gambling. What's gonna be next? This might cause diarrhea, hair loss, suicidal thoughts, gambling, and you might grow a mutant twin on your ass.
Sign me up. But your acne clear.
You might turn into a mutant ninja turtle. Well, that sounds cool. Kind of cool. That's the coolest out of all. I might mutate into a turtle that knows karate. Yeah, why not?
It can still eat pizza. Yeah, I'm down.
They are killing people, man.
I know.
They are actively they're telling people
they're phrasing it so that people can choose their own death.
Exactly, man. They are boiling us into fatal diseases. Leukemia. Look, do you know how horrible leukemia is? And people saying, you know, I'll risk it.
Well, it's better than what I got. Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the percentages on that? What's the over under? All right.
Yeah, might cause leukemia. Shit, what you taking this for? Oh, a cold. What? I want to feel better, man. These allergies. You don't understand, man. Shit, they're just going to start giving people just cans of radiation. Might cause cancer. Might.
Or it could trick your tumors. Just take your shot. What you got to lose? Buy a six-pack.
Turn you into some shit that you see in a wasteland, in an apocalyptic film. God damn. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of right here. Shit, y'all keep taking this shit. You gonna have Quatu growing out your ass. Do you feel better? You're not thinking about suicide, are you? I'm here for you. Yeah, keep taking this shit. That's what you will get, man. That Star Trek gift makes me laugh every time. They chant them, open your mind. Open your mind. Take this shit that's going to kill you. That is insane, man. That is crazy to me. I mean, leukemia is nothing to fuck with, and people just going to take it voluntarily. I mean, seriously, this is a government experiment, man. This is population control.
All right, don't become Alex Jones on us.
Man, I don't think I have to. Why are you giving a passing grade to medicine that will give you a disease? Medicine is supposed to cure you and gives you another disease. That kind of cancels each other out, right?
It was only the fact that...
Mar, you sniffing a little bit. You might need some leukemia. I got something to fix that.
It was only because they discovered there was a history of it in his family. They were like, oh, well, maybe we shouldn't give you this one. It's like, yeah, I think under any circumstances, you shouldn't give me that one.
Yeah. Hey, Mar, you make it sound so sensible. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm missing something here. I don't know. But if they're giving away medicine, that's giving people leukemia, and they're starting to give away some, give you other things possibly. That's people putting medicine out there to kill people. They trying to thin out the herd, man. Y'all thought they were going to do some Hunger Games type shit where we're going to be putting in an arena and kill each other. No, they're just giving you a pill and not even making you take it. Hey, man, you feeling bad? Take this. What's in it? Leukemia? Oh, that's all right.
Oh, cool. What is that?
Oh, boy. My headache gone. But my dick just fell off with it. they are killing people, man. They are voluntarily just finding this. You don't have to have some Hunger Games shit or some dystopian future. Just find the dumb motherfuckers, man. Put YouTube out there and just let it speak for itself. And let the kids go. If jump out of cars and send each other fire, hey, give these people pills and just tell them, you know, hey, you told them.
That's true.
That's the last thing you can do. What more can you do? They decide to take it anyway. How can the FDA approve some shit that's going to give you a disease?
Money?
Yeah. Taking a pill, you're going to be a bald-headed shit and leukemia-having motherfucker. I mean, that's that's crazy.
It's your choice. Nobody's making you take it.
That is true. That is true. Where's Alex Jones with this shit? You know, it's something that's tangible.
He's too busy working on fictional stories.
He's too busy creating mutant pigs and shit, you know, which I'm sure a pill would turn you into one day. This is... Martin, I'm sorry.
That really stopped you, didn't it?
Martin, I really want to move on, but I can't. I'm really trying to wrap my mind around this, man. This is ridiculous. I mean, because we used to make fun. This is how they get us. They get us to, like, first be shocked, but don't pull it out. You'll get used to it, and then once you get used to it, they really got you when they make you laugh about it. And then when you laugh about it, well, everything seems like it ain't that bad. It's okay. And that's how the cycle continues and goes on, man. The moment they get us to accept, not only acceptance, but finding humor in it, and it's done. It's done. I ain't no conspiracy shit, man. I don't know. I don't know how else you explain. What conspiracy? How do you explain putting those pills out there and giving it to people? Telling them that they got this. I hope Rick didn't take this shit.
He didn't.
Okay. Because I'd kill him myself. Let's just get it over with. Instead of fucking around. You know, I mean,
I'm going to save you some money.
Yeah.
Give me that bottle. Got a drain.
Because every time I see you, I'm going to get mad. Oh, my God. Ooh. Oh. But you know, a shirt from DT Merch Cures. Oh, I already did this. I already did it. I know. Yeah, where's the cure for that shit? To stop you from doing that. Oh. Can we get to the movies, LB? No.
Why would you do that, LB?
No. No, let me tell y'all something. Uh-oh. No, hell no. Well, you're about to get a side effect of some bullshit. Now you see, we could be going. I was ready. I was done.
You were taking that pause, ready to move on into the show,
Martin. I was done. I was ready. I was about to say, now let's get on to, but you had to say something, motherfucker. Dude, this is the show. What do you want? What do you want, man? You know, it's like, hey, people come here. They know that there are segments. We bullshit. We talk. We make, you know, we have a little bit of comedy going back and forth with these stories. And me, you know, where the movie's at? You fucking geek. Calm your ass down. Everybody up here having a good time. And you the main one. Everybody, yeah. Well, I really hope they get on with it. Shut your ass up, man. And get with the fucking program. Let us have our fun. Shit, we doing it. I mean, in fact, we doing this for you. We just kind of getting warmed up. I mean, I was enjoying your company here. I was having a good time. And you up in here, man, where the movies at? Yeah, I'm awake. Yeah, I ain't doing shit. Yeah. I'll sit up here and just look at your ass. Where the movies at? They're there when I'm ready to get them. God damn. Somebody do not feed the trolls. No, it's fun. I like feeding trolls. Yeah, we can talk about your cat. Yeah, tell us about your cat, man. How's he doing? Yeah, man, that's fine, man. What's her name?
Nala.
Oh, good old Nala,
like
man.
Lion King, okay.
Yeah.
Sunbathing. She's got allergies. She takes drugs. Cancer.
Yeah. Yeah. Fuck that. Now you holding that look at you holding everybody else up. Could have been on. Shit, I don't even feel like doing these fucking movies now. Shit, let's go to some emails.
Yeah.
Somebody talking about that's spiteful, Corey. Hell no, that's real. Shit, y'all know what's up. Yeah, I done subscribe. Yeah. No, come back, man. I'm just kidding. Come on. We get to the movies now. Come on. Finally sunk in it. He's paying. Oh, shit. All right. Let's see. All right. Here we go. Oh, let me see here. What we got? Where we at? All right. Let's get into it. Hey, Martin, let's get into the movies, man. Shit.
Oh, yeah. Movies.
Tired of
okay.
waiting.
Yeah.
Tired of waiting, man. Damn. You holding everything up, Martin. Come on. Talk about some movies, man. That's other bullshit. So, you know, we were talking about the Oscars a little while ago. We started out with the show saying, well, boy, you know, y'all spend 11 months of the year talking about, man, fuck the Oscars. Oscars ain't shit. Oscars just somebody's opinion. They don't even know what they're voting for half the time anyway. I don't give a fuck about the Oscars, man. And then right when it come around, man, how could they nominate what I like? Where my movie at? Man, they had two more slots. They could have got me. Yeah, don't care. Now look at you, bitch ass up there crying. Look at yeah, you know, listen, we all feel that way. I'm not an exception. I'm like, I'm with y'all. I don't care about the Oscars. But we talking about it. We sure. up on Oscar. We up on the night that the Oscars are on. Up here watching the show with y'all in suits and everything. We're all full of shit when it comes to the Oscars.
Yeah, people pretty much are.
Yeah. That statue hold a lot of power. That's why a statue don't move. You'll be sitting there just looking at you. Yeah, gone.
You'll be back. Well, it's just like this year with the Super Bowl. Everybody's like, oh, Patriots again. I don't even care. This is going to be the lamest Super Bowl ever. I really don't care. So you're going to just skip it? Well, I'm going to watch it, but... Yeah. Like, even, you don't care, don't watch
yeah,
it.
Even nerds watch the Super Bowl, and I just watch for the commercial. Shut the fuck. No, you don't. You watch. You don't have to get your ass beat up the next day. That's the one day that you could talk football with that jock that's going to whoop your ass. You know, and by the way, I love when the Patriots are in the Super Bowl. I love having a villain. They're like a super villain, man. I love having something to root against. Especially ever since Brady wore that MAGA hat. Uh-huh. And I'm like, yeah, I got a real super villain to root for. It's really cool until they win.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah. But, you know, the thing is, yeah, some movies, they get snubbed, as we say. They might not get the attention that you want them to get, but at least somebody's talking about them. Somebody's saying, you know what, they should have got some love. They should have got this. They should have got that. And that's better than being ignored completely. There are some movies out there that, fine films, good films, great films, and people have long forgot about them if they even knew they existed in the first
right.
place.
Some of them came out and got critical praise, but no box office love and just kind of disappeared.
Yeah, and that's where it really hurts, man. When you know your movie is good, it got praised, people liked it. Even people that saw it came out and said how good it was, and somehow nothing could save it. That's what's got a hurt.
Yeah.
And so we have a list here of films that we think that you might have heard of, but just forgot about. You didn't even go see. You gave it no business. Or there are some movies that you might not have even heard of from 2018. Now, this is just our list. These are our films. I'm sure there's a lot more. And we would love to hear from you if you have any films out there that you can educate us on and make us aware of. You know, even being movie people, we miss some things, too.
It happens.
It does. It does.
It's rare, but it happens.
It does.
Oh, you know what? I just thought of one I meant to put on the list and I forgot about.
You did.
Yeah.
Now, before we go on, let me bring up a little something here. And this is in no particular order. This is just, I'll just put them in the list. It's not in any order at all. I just number them just for organization.
Sure.
But let's start out with number one, and with number one, and Martin, you'll know these when I bring them up. Just ride along with
okay.
me. Now, Martin, a lot of people are talking about this one movie out here, saying, "Look, this is the best animated film of 2018, hands down."
My name is Peter Parker. I'm pretty sure you know the rest. I saved the city, fell in love, then I saved the city again and again and again. Look, I'm a comic book, a cereal, I did a Christmas album, and a so-so popsicle. But this isn't about me. Not anymore.
You know, and it's not about you anymore, not when it comes to this category right here, because while that is a good family film, while it's definitely the best animated film of 2018, I think that the best family film, for me, hands down, goes to this motion picture right here.
I've had a brilliant idea. I'm going to get a job and buy that book for Aunt Lucy's birthday. Hello, window cleaner.
Ow.
I saw that trailer and I have to tell you, just like the first one, I had my hopes down.
I know, you're like, oh, this is going to be painful.
It's a sequel. We're talking about Paddington 2. It's a sequel. It's, you know, the trailer, it didn't look like it had a solid story. But I have to tell you, man, I think that this is the best family film of the year because, for one, it doesn't depend. It's just so sweet-natured and the art direction in it is so beautiful but timeless, man.
Mm-hmm.
This is something where you don't have to be in on the last film to know anything. You don't have to be in on any kind of property to know the history of it. You know, you don't have to go in with any kind of knowledge except that there's a kind bear in the middle of all of this, and he's just trying to bring a little bit of happiness into the world. It's as simple as that. I mean, now you got antagonists in the film, and there's a subplot in there, but, man, it is just such a sweet-natured film, and Paddington is so nice that it just – this is one of the movies that made me – Paddington made me want to be a better person.
Well, it's funny because when you talk about how it's just a simple, sweet film and it's good for families, you make it sound like it's sweet but boring, and it's not.
Mm-mm.
It's actually very funny. You have performances by all these great side characters, and Hugh Grant is amazing. This is one of the best performances of his career.
I was going to say, man, you know, in a world now, we're talking about awards, award shows of all kinds. In a just and fair world where we did actually award things for their quality,
mm-hmm.
and for the fine job that some actors do, Hugh Grant in this, he would have gotten a Best Actor nomination.
Prison. There's no laughing matter. And I should know, I spent 3 years in Les Miserables.
Mr. Buchanan. You live on the same street as the defendant.
I do.
And you were an eyewitness to the events that night.
Indeed, I was. I was up late.
He's a goddamn liar. You see, that's one time Paddington wasn't so sweet. Oh, babe, break out this cage and whoop your ass. I'll maul your ass. You keep talking that bullshit. So he got a nomination.
When the Austin Film Critics Association.
They
had him nominated.
I mean, look. I respect my organization, but we are not major like the Globe and the Oscars.
No.
And if they had been, you know, if this was a fair and just world, Hugh Grant would be nominated.
Yeah, he would
for
be
that.
Up there with the rest of those guys.
But you are correct, man. You know, this is such a clever film.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. I'm not trying to make it sound so simple. I mean, it is a very sweet natured film. And very straightforward with that, but. There are things in here such as great characters. There are musical numbers that are incorporated into this so cleverly,
mm-hmm.
and like I said, the art direction is amazing.
Well, it feels so solidly like a film you would have watched when you were younger, but just tight and done really well.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, it reminds me of we just recently saw Stan and Ollie, and thinking about how funny their movies were to where you can still watch them now and they're still funny. And this has that same kind of aesthetic going on.
Yeah. No, I really love this film, and I don't know what it is that made it not succeed. And that's one of the things that we kind of talk about as we go through these. Like, did they just not believe in the film? Did the first one not do well enough to where? So why make a second one if you don't believe in it?
Yeah.
If you're not going to push it, because they really didn't push this, and they dumped it very early.
Mm-hmm.
And this hardly got any.
Yeah, it came out
any marketing.
I think it was January when it came out.
Yeah, yeah. And like I said, man, a lot of great characters in here. What's his name?
Brendan Gleeson is
so good in this. This had a great cast,
mm-hmm.
a huge cast,
and it's got a lot of the crew from Harry Potter that worked on it.
Really?
Yeah.
This is the one I cannot figure out. I know the first one wasn't like a huge success, but they went on and made a second one. Mm-hmm. So you somewhere, somehow, especially with the wonderful direction that was in this movie, you believed in having a second one, and at the last minute, just dropped it. And for the life of me, I cannot figure out why, except that, and I don't want to be the cynical, but when you watch it, there's no modern references in there. There's no, you know, there's no hip hop or some soundtrack worked in.
There's no big stars.
You know, like I say, Hugh Grant is in there.
But Hugh Grant's not. He's not the Hugh Grant. He's not the Notting Hill Hugh Grant. When women were going to see every Hugh Grant movie, you know, he's dropped off for a while.
I just think Hollywood is used to having kids movies where it's either more action packed, more fast paced, or they're trying to sell a song. They're trying to sell toys. Mm-hmm. There is a way to bring in a guest artist to sell that track. You did say, you know, a huge name in there. Mm-hmm. Paddington does not have a huge voice doing his voice.
Right.
I just think that this is such an old fashioned timeless film that timeless and old fashioned doesn't sell as well. And somebody kind of got cold feet with this.
And you know, maybe you would look at this and think, oh well, it's not that hard to pull a movie like this together. And then you see the movie Christopher Robin, and you see how it can easily go wrong. And you look back at this and you're like, man, they really put the work in.
Yeah, exactly. Poor Hugh Grant at the time, he's like, oh, I'm getting an Oscar for this. I've got this in the bag. Oh, boy.
they missed me on Florence Foster Jenkins, but now this is my time.
Well, that's his night before the nominations came out. I'm just going to wait. You got this, old Hugh.
I got the cases of champagne already chilling.
Yeah, I think it's... Man, I think with better marketing, this could have done well, you know. And for some reason, it did not. And you know, maybe they just didn't like the way because Paddington. Maybe people just didn't like the way Paddington like just talk shit to people, because Paddington would stop the movie, and Paddington would just scold your ass.
But he had a very polite way of doing it, where it took you a second to go, wait, is he talking shit about me?
But he had that stare before.
Oh, that stare.
Yeah, I will fuck you. Because he would stare at you, man, and you would feel like shit. Like, I do not want to disappoint this bear. I know he's not going to maul me. I know he's not going to hurt me. But for some reason, I really feel low right now. Yeah, it's a very adorable film. And perhaps, as I said, I think with better marketing, it could have achieved. But I think the studios just, they bailed on it because they couldn't find an angle on how to push it. So they just dropped it. In the middle of nowhere. Let's go to our next movie. Now, number two. So while everybody was out there watching the worst version of this film.
Like a bird in the wind.
What the hell are you?
We are Venom.
Yeah, while that turd was blowing in the wind, Martin.
I thought he was going to say, what the hell does that mean?
Yeah. Well, that turd's blowing in the wind, and everybody's just watching it blow. Y'all was sleeping on the better version of this movie. Who would have thought that the one
with
the fake Tom Hardy would have been the one that was better?
I need your permission to operate independently.
Permission granted!
Thank you.
Stay down, man.
Spam, he's got a knife!
I see that. We have a knife, too.
Oh, now they had a great red band trailer for this, and that sold a lot of people. You didn't get to see it where he just turned this man to a puppet, ripped his jaw in half. We're talking about Upgrade. Upgrade, you know, I hate to use that word because this is an exaggeration. People, they often say, man, that was criminally underrated. But, man, you know.
In this case,
because as I said.
I honestly don't understand what kept people from going to see it unless it just, there weren't enough ads for it.
Yeah, it could have been, man. I'm like, I don't know what it is, man. Maybe marketing. But, you know, I mean, I spent a few days just mad at the world because y'all were talking about Venom, and I just kind of, I mean, I felt like I was just like that dude with that sign, the end is near. Uh-huh. Just like, they're talking about Venom. I'm like, there's a better movie out there. There's a better version, you fools. Listen to me. Don't get off me.
Oh, I see you know your judo.
This was the better movie
by far
of Venom. It was almost the same. Yeah. Even before Venom came out, mm-hmm. we said this looks like what Venom is going to be.
Yeah.
But people watch this, and I don't know what's going on with this, except like we talked about, you know, a fake Tom Hardy. I forgot the actor's name here.
Brian Marshall Green.
He's like, I don't know, maybe. But you know, it didn't have any big actors.
Right.
It was a low budget film. It was from Blumhouse. And I think that's the only saving grace is that.
Yeah, I mean, it made its profit.
It did. But when you think about the profit, like this, there you go, Blumhouse tilt is what they call it. The more action-oriented genre or sci-fi genre for things that they plan on doing, I guess, down the line. If this didn't ruin it for everybody.
Sure.
Because this cost $3 to $5 million to make. You know it ain't going to be six because Blumhouse don't write a check past $6 million. You're lucky to get two. But this this was a sci-fi film that actually made the best out of its budget, man. I mean, it looked great for that $3 to $5 million. And it went on to gross $11 million domestically, mm-hmm. which that's not bad. It made a profit. But, man, were these micro-budgeted movies like from Tyler Perry and Jason Blumhouse, where those movies are going on to make like 10 times as much,
right.
if not more.
Right.
This should have been the one to – I felt like it should have been – it was so good. And it had everything that mainstream audiences wanted. It had great action, a great written science fiction script, an awesome twist.
Uh-huh.
This is everything that that audiences wanted. This should have been at least a $50 million grossing film.
Yeah. It also had a retro vibe to it, which everybody's into now.
In what way?
It felt like it was from – the whole thing felt like it was from the late 80s or early 90s. Mm-hmm. It had a very RoboCop vibe the whole time. Mm-hmm. And so many movies have been coming out lately that feel like the 90s. A lot of throwbacks to that. And I know the people who like these kind of movies were all about this, but somehow it just didn't cross over to a mainstream audience.
I guess you go to the same old excuse, man, when something doesn't do well. I'm willing to have some people tell us what you think it is, but I'm going to guess marketing.
Yeah.
It had more of an online marketing push mm-hmm. than anything else because it put out that Red Band trailer, and you didn't really see it anywhere else other than that.
Yeah.
And I think they were hoping that the trailer was going to help it gain some traction, but unfortunately, it didn't. All I can say is, look, for all y'all complaining about Venom and you haven't seen this, shame on you. Go see it. If you are talking about Venom and how badass Venom is, go see this. And if you have seen it, you still don't think so, watch it again.
There's no way you could watch this and see Venom and go, no, I think I like Venom better. That's not a thing.
It just comes down to writing. It mm-hmm. is a much better written film. And the biggest thing is it does a whole lot more with a whole lot less.
It does. And it's got one of those twists where you go, yeah, I could see this coming. And it goes, no, you didn't.
No.
Flip.
Yeah. No, it's great, man. I recommend if you haven't seen it, go watch it immediately. If you have seen it, go watch it again. And if you
– show your friends.
Yeah. And if you've seen Venom and you haven't seen it, you need your ass whooped. What's going on? Are you looking at Ray in here?
Yeah.
Ray, you're walking in on crazy. I know. Let's go to number three. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this because – we've been talking about this movie for the last 3 weeks.
Yo! Bro!
Stop! Stop! Don't you! Don't shoot!
And that's Blindspotting. And we've been talking about Blindspotting so much that all I can tell you is just go and watch our review for mm-hmm. this. Go and watch our talk about the Oscars when talking about this, because that covers everything. You know, with the Oscars right now being reactionary to that whole hashtag Oscars so white and making sure that they're including a lot of movies of diversity, especially from people of color, because everybody's clamoring over Black Klansman. But this really is, if they're hitting that hard, you know, to make movies that are not only diverse but have that kind of social message in there too.
Right.
They dropped the ball by ignoring this one right here, man.
I know.
And audiences, and this is another one. This definitely is a victim of no marketing.
Yeah.
None.
Yeah, complete none. To where even in our Critics Association, we didn't get copies of it.
Yeah. Shit, you talking about blind spotting good because nobody saw this shit. That was probably the wrong name. That motherfucker hung out the blind spot all through his theatrical run. And it's a shame because the movie works on every level. The performances are great. What's his name?
David Diggs.
David Diggs from Hamilton. Mm-hmm. You know, he's great in this. The director of this film reminds me of a Spike Lee, except with more focus, man. The art direction in this is great. This is a movie that has a great message and a very powerful ending. You know, forget that the Oscars are the Globes or no one else took notice of this. It's just a shame that no one out there saw it until it was too late.
Yeah.
Because now that this is one of those movies, man, nobody paid attention until somebody said, man, it sucked that movie didn't get seen. And then all of a sudden, like, what movie? You know, Barry's like,
I would have voted for that. I didn't know it was out there.
People like, I didn't know it was there.
Yeah.
Why do you think that this did not get any marketing at all?
I mean, I don't know what the story is with the studio. Why they wouldn't push it? Did they just not want to put the money behind? Did they run out of money?
I didn't even think of that, man.
Yeah.
That could be the case, you know?
Because at South by Southwest last year, the movies that got talked about the most were this one, Upgrade, Eighth Grade, and something else that's Isle of Dogs, but there was one more that I'm Sorry to Bother You.
It's Sorry to Bother You. I don't even know if the reasoning of it has no money can be used because Lionsgate, it's a Lionsgate company,
oh,
man.
Oh, okay, never mind.
Yeah, Lions, man, they got money.
Lionsgate don't like black people.
Racist. That line racist, man. Nah, man. It's not a question of did it not get any marketing. It's plain that it didn't.
No, it didn't.
The question that everybody wants to know, and I say everybody, meaning us, maybe somebody knows, but I would really love to know why that's the case that it got no marketing. I think that if this had a bigger push, maybe still not an Oscar nomination, but it probably would have had at least better box office.
Sure.
But, you know, we'll see. We'll see. Maybe somebody out there can help us out because that is actually my top three films of the year. And I'm part of the problem, too. I did not watch it until 3 weeks ago.
Sure.
Yeah.
But that's the thing.
I didn't know.
But it wasn't there for us to see it.
They gave us no screener. I didn't know anything. And they gave us no screening at the theater.
No, they gave us a screening, but it was at the same time as a much bigger movie.
They tried to bury it that way. Well.
Hey, and you know, and I have these talks with these companies all the time. They schedule screenings two or three on the same night, and I say, hey, guys, between the three of you, there's nothing playing tomorrow. You don't want to move yours? Well, we were here first.
They don't want
to
move.
No, we can't move ours.
Boy.
Okay. I'm just trying to make it to where everything can get seen, but all right.
I'm like you, Martin. I don't want to bite the hand that feeds and the people that gives us the screenings. I don't want to piss you off. But y'all childish as hell sometimes.
Yeah.
Y'all really are. They need to move. I was here first. But you sound yeah. like you 8 years old.
I was faced.
Yeah.
Well, so what? Grow the fuck up and move. You know, Anyway, let's go to number four. This one, I can understand why this was a hard sell.
Here, take off your clothes down to your underwear. I'm not sure what's happening here. The door's locked. It would be better for everyone, especially yourself, if you just do as I ask. There's been some kind of mistake. By signing this, you've consented to voluntary commitment.
I am being held here against my will.
Do you know how many calls the cops get like that every week?
This movie, Unsane, was a hard pitch because... I think they didn't want to take the risk because of that goddamn phone.
Uh-huh.
They shot this movie on an iPhone, which, as you see right here, it looks fine. But you know, once you bring in all the right lenses, don't think you can go out. And,
you're not Steven Soderbergh.
No, yeah, don't think you're gonna pull out this phone from your pocket and be like, "Oh shit, I'm shooting a movie." Look, nah, the dude had to have a lot of lenses and filters and audio equipment to make it look like a real film. But nevertheless, it's a movie that was touted as being shot on a cell phone. Now, it didn't get much marketing in the first place.
Right.
And when it was marketed to people, it was marketed as Steven Soderbergh is making a movie on a cell phone. And, you know, a lot of people like, well, shit.
I don't need to see that.
People say, look, I make movies on my phone. They look like shit. Why am I going to go watch his movies? But I think because of that, again, people got a little bit nervous on how to push this film. And I think that was a mistake. I think that if they had just pushed it as a thriller, because this film, Unsane, is a brilliant psychological thriller. You really don't know if this woman, and who's
Claire Foy,
yeah, you really don't know if she is losing her mind, if she is paranoid, if she's bringing this on herself. You really don't know what's happening with her.
Yeah, and for all the praise she's getting for First Man, I grit my teeth. I was like, y'all should have seen her in Unsane.
Because
that's where she left the screen.
Shit, y'all Unsane. She was brilliant. This was her movie, man. Mm-hmm, she was brilliant in this. And yeah, she didn't. She, you know, of course, the bigger movies with the bigger budgets, and that's one thing that should show you how award shows work. You know, unless it's a really great way of spending something, it's always going to be the bigger movie with the bigger flash, the bigger campaign, the biggest money.
Yeah, the bigger stars.
The bigger stars that are going to be
the name directors.
Yep. This was a simple movie shot on a cell phone, and yet it was a great thriller, man.
It was one where the gimmick of the cell phone didn't take over the movie, and it wasn't half-assed. Because I just thought, well, okay, maybe it'll just be an experiment to see how far we can go with something like this, and it'll be a cheap horror movie. And you're right. It's a brilliant psychological thriller where you don't know what's going on until near the end.
It's not perfect, but there's a lot of brilliant things in there. And being shot on an iPhone, if they didn't say anything, they didn't even have to say anything, you probably would have went in and just thought that it was a very disorienting style that was done on purpose to fit the paranoia in the film. And I also want to say that it had – being that it's a smaller film, they were able to go in and give some actors a chance to do things that bigger movies wouldn't give them a chance to do. The comedian from Saturday Night Live.
Jay Farrow,
very good in the film.
Yeah.
It's, the only thing that I could say, being a bonus here, is that on the smaller screen, it does look better.
Oh, does it? Because I didn't mind it in the theater.
I didn't mind it in the theater, but even like looking at it right here, you can see it looks like a typical movie shot on, you know, this could be shot on a high digital end camera. And I think, you know, for those who might go in and be a little taken aback by the film, the quality of video that you see on it, because it's a very, you know, it's a wide angle lens that they use all the time. You know, watching it on a smaller screen might be better for most people out there. But it's a shame that this was missed in the theaters, man, when it was out. But I get it, you know. It's a little harder sell than most movies. The only thing that is harder to try and sell than a movie being shot on an iPhone is a movie that's being shot on a desktop. And that is what we have here for number 5. There's a movie that was shot on nothing but a Chrome browser and windows that will open up on a desktop, and that movie is Searching.
Yeah, I finally got to see it.
Dad?
Hey, sweetheart. Where are you?
Study group. Gonna go home night.
Oh, one more thing. I want to know about the final you took today.
Now, that is a hard sell, because all you're seeing is windows and browsers. That's it. And I have to say, though, it took me a while to get into it. And Martin, I'd love to hear, because I didn't hear what you thought about the movie. I'll ask you in a little bit. But this stars John Cho, who, first of all, the movie's riding off of his very emotional performance in this. It's almost a one-man show told through computer windows and searching browsers. And he loses his daughter. And the movie's told with him trying to, you know, when the police don't seem like they're being very effective, he goes on a mission to pick up clues himself. And most of those clues being that She's a teenager. She's left a lot of breadcrumbs online. I thought that it was a brilliant way to tell a thriller and a mystery, using nothing but evidence that was found, you know, through emails and online videos.
Well, because teenagers and 20-somethings are online so much.
Yeah.
They leave such a big footprint online where you can piece somebody's life together from that. So yep. The fact that that show on Netflix, the one called You, mm-hmm. it takes full advantage of that.
Really?
In a way that'll scare you.
I wouldn't want to watch that. People have been asking us. I might watch it and talk about it on Tuesday,
I've seen it, man. I really want you to watch
it. Okay, give me a couple of days. We'll talk about it on Tuesday. Okay. People keep asking us, man. Go ahead.
But like you, in the beginning, it took me a little while to get into it. Because I was like, all right, how much do I want to follow this? These, you know, I'm eavesdropping on these conversations and it's online and I got to read screens and I'm getting tired of movies trying to make me do this more and more. But the mystery itself is pretty good and sucks me in. And mm-hmm. especially trying to figure out, okay, who's done it? Has a crime taken place?
Yeah.
And who's in on it? And by the time things kind of focus on the brother, I was totally in.
Oh yeah, I was in before that because I really was. Cause we had just watched Unfriended, and while I liked the movie, I was like, okay, I hope I ain't seen a trend with this bullshit.
Right. That's why I wasn't. I couldn't make the screening, and I was like, well, it's fine anyway.
Yeah.
Because after Unfriended, I don't want to see no more shit like that.
But it was a great.
But yeah. You know, this is how you do that.
This is a new way to tell a found footage movie. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody. Look, found footage is not like near anything like zombies or anything like that, and people don't want to see it as much. But right when you thought. Well, that's done. Somebody found another way to do something with it.
Sure,
and I just thought that if this was marketed the right way to maybe teenagers out there, mm-hmm. which it didn't get a big push because, again, this is kind of a risky film. But if it had been marketed to like that demographic of teenagers and young 20-somethings, I think this would have been a better performance at the box office. It's a very small film, and I think they expected it to like just kind of come and go very quickly. But because of that, a lot of people didn't see a really creative thriller, a really creative mystery out there. And – you know, and it's a great statement about just, you know, while this is a thriller, it's really addressing just how fake people are.
Yeah.
Online, man. You know what I'm saying? Just fake people are, either being phony people or just people being somewhat sociopathic with their lying. You know, it talks a lot about internet culture that a lot of young people are on. It's a really good film, man, that you haven't seen done this way. It really is totally one of the most original things you will see. And if you missed it, go check it out. When they say that there's nothing being done new in movies, you get something like this.
And then y'all don't go see it.
And then you don't go see it. Assholes. So let's go to number six. This one really baffles me more than anything, man, because this had everything going for it.
Max is very competitive, as am I. It's one of the reasons I fell in love with him.
Oh, this is easy. He was Incredible Hulk.
Eric Bana.
Other one.
Mark Ruffalo.
Other one.
Lou Ferrigno.
Primal Fear.
Richard Gere never played the Incredible Hulk.
Time.
Jesus Christ. Ed Norton.
Oh! Primal Fear.
I mean, we're laughing at the trailer. And granted, we've seen trailers where they make us chuckle, and then you watch the rest of them, and it's like, okay, they're showing the best stuff,
right.
You know, the premise is stupid. And I'm not going to lie, man. I thought, okay, it's going to be one of those comedies.
Oh, I thought that too.
And we're talking about Game Night. Game Night, when we saw this, not only were we pleasantly surprised by how good it was, but we said that, man, there is no reason for this not to be a hit.
You know, also, most of the time in Jason Bateman movies, you mm-hmm. get one of two Jason Batemans. You get either the one who's complete nebbish and a pushover to the point where you want to scream at him, or you get one who's
complete
an asshole.
Yeah. That is so true. That is very true.
And here he found it. He found, oh, no, there's a third one now who's like a normal dude that you like.
Yeah. No, they still were. They still a little bit asshole-ish, man.
But enough to drive the plot.
Enough, yeah. No, that is true. This was a film where we were not only surprised that the comedy worked mm-hmm. and the script worked, but the creative approach that they took it. Being that it was Game Night, there were certain transitions mm-hmm. where it looked like a game board. Yeah. But you know, outside of that, but outside of the quality of the movie. I mean, you know, this had everything that an audience would want. I mean, yeah, the premise looked dumb maybe, but that never stopped anybody. It had a good cast of named people in there that should have drew people in.
You know what it was missing?
What's that?
Kevin Hart.
Yeah. As the well, oh,
I mean, I'm not saying he would have made it better because he wouldn't have, but had he been in the trailer, then people would have gone to see it.
Well, you ain't lying about that. Hell, you could have made him one of the game pieces. And it would have been, and people would have done it, you know. But he wouldn't have gone with being just an ensemble cast there. He wouldn't need. They had to get a no-name black dude to come in there, or a lesser-name black dude who ain't got there, who ain't put in their work yet, put in that time. But I don't know, man. I've seen movies, nothing different, do well.
Yeah.
This had marketing behind it.
I know.
I'm clueless as to what's happening, and you missed a lot of really funny things in there, man. When I say that this whole cast is great, you know, I'm talking about right down to some people they don't even put in the trailer. Jesse Plemons,
yeah,
Jesse Plemons as the creepy neighbor. That's what I say, man. Jason Bateman's still kind of an asshole, but you can't really blame him when the neighbor's kind of that weird. Jesse Plemons as the weird creepy neighbor. He stole the show every time he came on. That, I almost feel like they should have showed more of that to get people in.
Honey, Gary, don't mention game night, okay?
Mm-hmm. Good evening, hey. Max.
Gary.
Annie.
Hello there.
Hi, Gary.
Just checking the mail.
Oh, yeah?
Some people check it earlier in the day, but there's always a risk that the mail carrier hasn't come yet. This spares me the chance of a futile trip to the mailbox.
Uh-huh.
Plus, it allows Bastion here the opportunity to urinate.
You have a good one.
Any plans for this evening?
No.
Perhaps a game night?
You're just going to stay in, just the two of us.
Mm-hmm.
Boring.
Mm. I see. I do hope you keep me in mind for any future game nights.
Well, you bet.
I've always enjoyed the camaraderie of good friends. Competing in games of chance and skill.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we'll do that, but it's nice, just two of us.
Three bags of Tostito scoops, I notice.
There was a special on these tonight. Three for one.
Three for one?
Yep.
How can that be profitable for Frito-Lay?
Maybe he's the one that scared the audiences off. I'll pass. I'm stalking my ass after I see this movie. But if you like that comedy, there's more of that in there, this type, man. And I don't know because the trailer was kind of funny. But
was funny, but the trailer doesn't let you know that the movie's smart.
Yeah, yeah, but again, that's never stopped audiences. True. That is the one come on, man.
That has scared them off at times.
Yeah.
Oh, you think you're smarter than me?
I'm baffled. Do not know why that didn't make it. But all I know is that it should have been better.
Yeah.
I even came out saying that was when I was wrong, when I was like, finally, a comedy that is smart, that is going to be a big hit. And 2 weeks later, yeah. Bye.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see hopefully somebody can tell us what happened with that. Let's get into number 7 right here, man. This isn't really a movie that was completely ignored, but I did think it was going to be more of a success.
A few weeks ago, I met Emily, this wonderful, elegant person. Our sons brought us together, actually.
Come here, little dude.
Can me and Miles have a play date today?
Your drink? Does your kid drink? Really? I mean, it's never too early to start teaching.
I think you're joking, but great. J'adore mon poisson rouge. Every time we do this, I feel so high tone.
Want to trade confessions?
No.
Come on. What's the wildest thing you've ever done?
She is an enigma, my wife. You can get closer. You can never quite reach her. She's like a beautiful ghost.
I think what happened with this is that, given the director... what's his name?
Paul Feig.
Feig. You gotta be careful how you say it. Paul Feig. You had him in there, and then of course you had Blake Lively, right?
Yeah.
And then Anna Kendrick. I think with the combination of Paul Feig, who people who go to movies know, and Anna Kendrick, who the public knows as being more of a comedy person, I think a lot of people going in expecting a comedy. And yes. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And this is actually, it's got comedic moments in there, but it's kind of a dark mystery. It's a mm-hmm. dark thriller.
Yeah. You could say it's a dark comedy, but it's also a mystery and a thriller. Mm-hmm. And that is the element that throws people off or threw people off. Because with Paul Feig, okay, he's going to do a comedy that's centered around women. That's what you expect. And Anna Kendrick, you go, she's going to do a comedy and maybe it's a musical also. Okay. And the two leads are women. So it's got to be a chick flick, right? And maybe some singing. But those last Pitch Perfects, I don't know. We sat there not knowing what the movie was going to be. And Alamo Drafthouse, even their pre-show, didn't give us a clue. A murder mystery was not something I really expected. The posters made it seem like maybe. But
the posters didn't tell you anything.
Yeah, it didn't tell you anything. And I went in completely cold, not expecting not only a mystery, but a smart one with really just – sinister dialogue.
Yeah, I don't think people hated the movie when they saw it. I don't think that it benefited from word of mouth.
Yeah,
like a lot of the comedies of what people might have thought this was would have had benefited from. I know they're not huge stars, but they are names, man. And and plus they got Asian Bond in there. I thought
they haven't given him the job yet.
I'm rooting for him though, man. He got my vote. You know, the guy from Crazy Rich Asians. Yeah. I thought that coming off of the success of that movie, people would have seen him and probably would have transferred to this.
He's not on the poster.
That is true, but he's in the trailer though, as we see right there. Yeah, maybe that's what we needed. That's if there was ever time to make one of those shitty Photoshop posters. Where everybody's a different size and smiling and shit, maybe pointing at each other, But yeah, maybe that's what they needed. Possibly the marketing was too mysterious. Maybe they should have pushed the mystery a little bit more. But I don't know what more they could have done.
It's a problem when you have a mystery that you don't want to give too much away.
That is true. I think it just suffered from so many names of being associated with other genres other than this. And so while it didn't do it, it's not a failure.
It wasn't a failure. It made some money.
Once it was gone, nobody talked about it anymore. It was almost out of everybody's mind. If you do get a chance to see that though, please do. It's not only is it a fine thriller and a mystery, but it's very stylish too. Mm-hmm. You talk about something where it's not the normal score of a Hollywood film. Or has the soundtrack of a regular Hollywood film. A lot of French new wave music in here. You know, it's a very stylish film too, to be, a studio film. Really enjoyed it and I recommend you see it. Let's go to number eight. Now you might have seen this. I don't know if you have, I remember seeing this and even this kind of dropped out of my mind for a while until I thought about it later in the year.
Amanda, this is my stepdad, Mark.
How long are you here, Amanda?
My mom's going to pick me up around midnight.
Midnight's late for us. I'll call your mom. She can come pick you up now.
She's busy.
Doing what?
Chemotherapy.
Somebody said, ooh, take that, bitch. That's Olivia Cooke and Anna Taylor-Joy. And that was the guy from Boardwalk Empire. Right, I keep forgetting his name. Who plays a completely different person. but this is Thoroughbreds. Thoroughbreds.
I did not see it.
It is quite the interesting film that sounded is a like hard it. Sell also because murdering your parents doesn't really resonate with mainstream audiences a whole lot, especially when they're weird like this. Olivia Cooke plays this weird friend to this rich girl, Anna Taylor-Joy. And Anna Taylor-Joy's father, he's kind of a dick, but he's not abusive or anything. But because this girl is just so sociopathic, she's like, well, just fucking kill him. that solve everything.
Wow, that's so similar to A Simple Favor.
I guess killing family members, man, is just not the big thing this year or last year. But I think a movie like this is hard to sell to mainstream audiences because – not only because of the theme of killing a parent, but it really is creepy. Well, and when I say creepy, it's just that Olivia Cooke just kind of gets under your skin. It's not scary. She's not, not anything that you really fear. It's just kind of like, wow, this girl is just so off. And it's just unsettling to be around her.
Well, I thought this was one of those movies that only played at indie theaters.
Well, that's another thing. It was an art house theater, but another reason why I say that this should have been more mainstream. I'm really saying this out of respect for a certain person. I thought that maybe, and it's very sad, but I thought that the passing of a certain person might have bumped this movie up a little bit more, so that people actually pay their respects to this person and go out and see it.
What's he even doing here?
I am providing you all with early drug experiences that you will forever cherish.
Who the hell are you?
We have a business proposition for you. You got a gun?
Yes, I have a gun. You don't know where I come from.
Westchester.
I'm in.
You have no idea.
I didn't think you'd bring it here.
And that's Anton Yelchin's last role. At least I believe that's his last role. Anton Yelchin, as you know, died in a very bizarre and very horrible home car accident. He got run over by his own car. Yeah, and it's not even that simple. I'm not going to go into the gory details of it, but you know, I thought that this is something that might have been pushed more. And I understand it's a hard place to be in when you try to sell a movie on somebody's death. That could seem disrespectful.
Sure.
But also, if you kind of let people know, and I don't know exactly how, but if you let people know that you are trying to pay homage to this person and respects to this person to get people out to see his last work. And he's great in the movie, man.
Oh, I believe it. I just think that if he doesn't have on a Star Trek uniform, most people don't know who he is.
And that's why people should see this.
And that could be the same for everybody else in his cast. I mean, you go like, now, oh, that's the girl from Glass or Split. But prior to that, just like, I don't know her.
Well, Anton Yelchin, I mean, he made big news. He made big news with his accident. And plus, he was breaking out of that Star Trek role. I mean, Green Room.
Oh, I know. He was a fantastic actor.
Yeah, and I thought, you know, this is something where I just thought that, yeah, this is the you know, this guy was he if he had lived, he would be getting on from, you know, whatever other roles he played before. And this is definitely one that people talked about for a little while, but as you said, it was such a smaller film that even his death couldn't do anything to actually, you know, get people to see it. But he's great in the film, and if you haven't seen it, you should check it out. You know, I think that you know, all these people that you see in here are going to be up and comers. And you know, you already see some of them in other places, including Anton Yelchin if he had lived. So it's worth checking out to see these young actors and actresses. You know, this is one of the starting points of probably really big careers for them. Let's go ahead and get to Martin. This is all you, brother. Let's get to number 9. This is all you, man. You got to tell me about it because I hadn't seen this. Can you guess which one it is?
Nope.
Does this refresh you, Martin?
The winner in the category of medicine and health sciences.
This fool, like you on the Price is Right or something. Goddamn nerd. You think you're on a science fan? Oh, God!
Making it to ISA. That's like the big thing. You kind of have that status of being in like the group.
I would say that a lot of people are jealous of me.
On deadlines, I'm awful. I wait until the deadline to start working.
I listen to trap music and classical music.
Pass it up. Blast it up full volume.
I actually don't listen to classical music that much.
This is Science Fair. Now, like you were saying with the Thoroughbreds, you're saying it's more of an art house movie. This is something that seemed like a smaller film.
It's totally a smaller film.
So why pick this one then?
Well, honestly, out of all the documentaries from last year, this one was my favorite. And it follows these kids who are going to this huge national science fair that I didn't even realize was a thing. I mean, most people don't even know unless you're into that culture. And they also follow the one teacher who's she's somebody she really cultivates these kids into being science geniuses, and they go to win. It's a whole thing, and you think, well, are they going to be the bad guys? They're not, but it's a black woman who gets all these kids and turns them into these scientists who regularly win. They are their winning team. They're the Patriots without cheating.
So it's a smaller film, and it's a documentary. Would this have been seen by bigger audiences anyway? You know, documentaries already, now they're kind of niche anyway.
I never expected to get seen by a mainstream audience, but I feel like even from smaller audiences, it didn't get a lot of play.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't hear much about it.
Okay.
And it just, you know, on all the list of best documentaries. I never saw it pop up on any, even when they went down to their top 20. I was like, man, I've watched some of these that y'all are touting, and they bored me. And this was never the case. This was very entertaining. You really learned a lot and just rooted for all these kids.
Yeah.
And nice. And they even admitted that in some cases, somebody won, and then they went back and kind of filmed, you know, getting to know them and just rearranged to make it look like they were there the whole time. But most of them, they were just following them and got all this together. And it's fascinating. Like I used that for something else we were working on. I was like, you know what? We're going to build this documentary.
Yeah.
We need to do it like they did.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. Very nice. Well, you got me interested in it, man. I'd definitely like to see this. We're about to round it out right here. At number 10. Now, drug addiction is not exactly, you know, meant for the most enjoyable entertainment out there.
Oh, I don't know. I can think of lots of great drug addiction movies.
Oh, I'm thinking about doing drugs. That's awesome. But, you know, watching other people do it, that's kind of a bummer, man. But we got this movie here. But in Hollywood, you know, like, it's great. Drug addiction makes great dramas, mm-hmm. makes great tragedies. Sometimes can make great comedies. But one of the dramas that was out there that didn't get seen a whole lot, I thought that this might be up for an Oscar because of the names that were involved.
Same here.
He's clearly doing better.
Well, then why are you hiding everything?
We said we weren't going to do this again, remember?
I agree. And if it weren't Christmas.
You get a day. This time tomorrow, you are back in sober living.
Yeah, okay.
You do not leave my sight ever. Because for the next 24 hours, you are mine, all mine.
And that is Ben is Back. And you can hear Julie Roberts in there. And then we have the, you know, one of the, speaking of young actors that are up and coming, this guy was nominated for an Oscar. What was it, last year?
Yeah.
And
Manchester by the Sea.
Manchester by the Sea.
And was that last year? I think it was.
Yeah, I think it was. Who is this again?
Lucas Hedges.
Lucas Hedges. It's not like you've been taking drugs. Lucas Hedges, man. This is, I think, one of the reasons that you're not seeing this right now. We've been talking about how for a lot of movies to get recognized by any kind of committee, awards committee for any big major show, you have to have people go out there and campaign for a whole lot. And while Ben is Back had the name Courtney B. Vance is in this. Mm-hmm. They had a good cast in here, man. But I don't think they had the same campaigning squad as Beautiful Boy.
Right.
Beautiful Boy is a movie that's very similar, and somehow they
campaigned the fuck out of that movie.
Oh yeah, yeah. For some reason, the drug addicted teenager movie, that's the one that everybody's talking
about.
Well,
I was saying, like, there was the Boy movie, so you had Boy Erased that also has Lucas Hedges in it, and then Beautiful Boy, it's about a kid on drugs. And so when Ben is Back comes out, maybe people thought, I feel like I've saw this movie.
So people didn't
it was
even
one
know.
Of those two.
Yeah. Just pick a boy. Sometimes they just close their eyes and put the thing on a boy. Beautiful Boy is another one that they're talking about.
Just doing what needs to be done.
What does that mean?
I'm sorry, Dad.
Why don't we just have lunch and talk? We can do that, right? Mm. Please. You think that you have this under control.
I understand why I do things. It doesn't make me any different. You're just embarrassed because I was like, you know, I was like this amazing thing, like your special creation or something, and you don't like who I am now.
And that is Timothée Chalamet, who's also got a lot of attention from a movie from last year, mm-hmm. Call Me By Your Name. So you got these two, I mean, they're very similar even behind the scenes.
Oh, yeah.
Steve Carell is the big name in there as the parent, but he's not, you know, it's a Julia Roberts role, I guess.
Yeah.
It was, yeah, this, it's just, it was two movies that were competing, man, and, you know, one of them just won. Mm. And Ben is Back, it has lost. You saw both of them. It wouldn't be fair for me to even compare them to each other because I haven't seen both movies.
Right.
You did, though.
Yeah,
which
did
one is
both.
The better movie, you think?
I saw Beautiful Boy first, and they're different in a way where I could get – if somebody compared a favorite one over the other. But I liked Ben is Back a lot.
Why?
A lot more. It was because it was a story of – because you know what? Beautiful Boy is – it's almost a typical story of the kid who's on drugs who can't get his shit together and the parent who keeps trying over and over.
Mm-hmm.
Ben is Back has had a lot more complexities going on. You had the blended family now that he was coming back into. Mm-hmm. You could see how there's people who've dealt with him. It's and his character isn't just a drug addict. He's a recovering drug addict who's trying to do better. At the same time, everybody's on edge because it's like, when is he going to slip? And the other factor is his whole drug life is coming in to the picture now. There's a lot of different things going on that makes it a different movie. So it's like, yeah, I really dig this because they're throwing curves at me and I never get a chance to relax. Mm-hmm. Whereas with Beautiful Boy, it ends where it starts. It's just taking you through these paces. And frankly, there's that kind of early on where you're just like, you just want to pull the dad aside and say, I know you don't want to hear this, but it's a loss.
It's lost. Yeah, let this boy go.
Yeah.
Buy him a crack rock and let him go. Drop his ass off somewhere. But you know what I will say, what I liked about Ben is back, and I can't compare, but I don't, from what you're saying, I don't know if you see it in Beautiful Boy, Ben is back really lets you see the effects of addiction, man.
Yeah.
And how not only it affects that person, but how it has long effects, standing effects, yes, on people that surround them.
Yes.
That person. So yeah.
Yes. Beautiful Boy shows you the effects, but it's all the stuff that you kind of know.
Yeah.
And Ben is Back takes you through, like, yeah, it ain't done just there.
No, that's a full-time job.
Yeah.
Taking care of a drug addict, man. Yeah, you just can't trust that person no matter how kind and nice they seem. They are not that person.
Right.
It's like when you see a zombie. That is not that person anymore. I have real quick a bonus, just a quick bonus right here, because this is a smaller movie. I don't think a lot of people would see it, but I did find it fascinating. And it does, it's another kind of thriller and more on the action oriented side, but I found it fascinating for a particular reason.
I'm gonna ask you some questions. How many are there?
One guy inside the front door, second guy on the top floor.
After the tone, please leave a message.
It's done. Man called. He wants to see you right away.
State Senator Albert Vato. His teenage daughter's missing.
What's the lead?
He got an anonymous text with an address.
I've heard of these places. They said you were brutal.
I can be.
I want you to hurt them.
And that is Joaquin Phoenix, and you would never really hear. You know, what fascinates me about this film is that you look at the character that he is in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
He's a hired killer, you kind of heard from the trailer, and he's going to rescue a senator's daughter from some sex trafficking ring, some child, teenage prostitution ring. And what really makes the movie is his performance, man. It's not and because of that, it goes into some weird places. because you think it's kind of straightforward at first, but this fool is off.
Yeah,
he's really disturbed, man.
Right?
And he makes it scary.
Uh huh.
Like, he's the hero, and it's scary because of him. And what I love about this is that it's like looking at his character from I'm Not Here or whatever. You remember when he was out rapping?
Yeah.
It's like that character finally lost his shit and started killing people.
Yeah, no, I got that impression also.
Yeah, it really, I mean, seriously, man, that movie, that first movie that he did, I'm Not Here, whatever, that movie's kind of shitty. I'm not going to lie to you. Combined with this, it's a great double feature, man. It's like, this dude finally lost it.
I'm Not Here, You Were Never Really Here.
Yeah,
it's not the sequel.
Even the title works together, man. It really is fascinating. I'm telling you, watch those two movies together. You got an amazing double feature, man. But
I didn't like how it started, but it wrapped up in an interesting way.
Yeah. He finally figured out he could rap and just said, I just kill people. But man, there's a lot of, it's an action movie, but with a lot of creative action in it. A lot of things are told through, they don't want to show you the violence firsthand. A lot of the violence is seen after it's done through security cams. That was a badass scene where they just kept going from security cam to security cam, seeing them go through hallways. It keeps intensifying because of him, man. Like, well, first of all, the tables just get turned on him in the middle of his mission, and it always keeps you guessing. All right, what's going on here, man? But Yeah, this dude, he's fascinating to watch because he's so unpredictable, man. And they got a score in here where somebody got a gasoline can and just banging that shit. Dung, 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 dung. It's like, stop! it's a good one, man. It's a smaller film, and not a lot of people saw it, and it's not one that I can even argue by saying, man, you should have seen it because it's not that kind of movie. But if you do see it,
I tell you, I agree with you that it's fascinating and it's different. When it was done, I just felt like
oh, so you saw it? I'm sorry, I didn't know you
saw it. No, it's okay because when it was, I mean, it's been a long time. I don't remember it that well, but I do remember when it was done. It was one of the few movies where I really was like, I don't know how I feel about what I just saw. Like, I feel like I probably need to watch it again.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that I loved about it.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, it is not a very straight cut ending.
Yeah, somebody said, did you like it? I'd be like, I don't know. So did you not like it? Well, no, I wouldn't say that either.
You know how you see movies, like you love movies that make you feel uncomfortable.
Sure.
And this did, maybe not in the way that you usually – that you, like we usually get them, but man, this movie just made me feel very uneasy watching this. So that's our list of films, the overlooked films of 2018. So if you got
it's a good
any,
list.
Yeah, no, thank you. Well, you helped out a lot. We had a lot of overlap.
I figure we would.
No, it was a lot of them in there. A lot of them. I like when Martin put in there, man, I don't think people saw Crazy Rich Asians, man.
I didn't know what exactly you were going for. That's why I put it like down here, like maybe this.
No, I got you. No, I got it. Even when I sent that text back to you, I was like, damn, I sound like an asshole.
Oh, yeah, you totally did.
Are you stupid, man? People saw that movie? if you have any of your own that you like to send us, please let us know. Like I said, this is our list.
Yeah.
You gave me something that I hadn't seen. Like, I really want to see Science Fair now. So we're just trying to get you guys to watch some stuff.
You know,
that's
I was
really
trying
good.
To remember that movie. Was it Puzzle? The one with Kelly MacDonald and Irfan Khan, where she was a little housewife that would come to his house and they entered a puzzle contest.
I didn't see that.
You weren't there?
I don't think so.
Oh, dang. I wish I remember that.
I mean, yeah, man, that was great.
And I saw this this Russian movie about a missing kid where the husband and wife who were fighting with each other were going around with the police trying to find their kid. But they were arguing so much, they weren't even getting anything done.
Nice. I'd like to see that. And keep in mind, these movies were kind of – I mean, you can make these lists any which way you want. We kind of went on the slant of – you know, there were some exceptions in here, but we went more on the slant of these were movies that were a little more mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like they were inaccessible.
Right.
Or, you know, not heard of. They did get some – most of these got a major release, and that's what we were kind of concentrating on. Again, with the exception of a couple that we thought you just need to be put out there for you to see. But give us your list if you have any. Let us know what you're thinking. Let us know if we missed anything that you think that we should watch. We'd love to hear from you. So comment wherever you see this.
And now is the time that most of those movies should be available on streaming somewhere.
It's another benefit of it. Yeah. Yeah. So you'd even hit the seven seas and loot some booty if you want. I'm not saying I'm not advocating anything like that. I'm just saying it's
loot some booze.
It's out there. Why somebody gonna think he's talking about raping people? Man, no. God damn it, no. It's getting a little late here. What time we start? It's close to 6. So I'll do a couple of things here real quick. Just real quick. This is very quick. Very quick. Stop giving this man attention, Bill Maher. Bill Maher don't know when to shut the fuck up, and he's a very egotistical guy who surrounds himself with an audience and guests who will laugh at every dumb thing that he says. He's still on that comic book shit.
Still talking about Stan Lee.
He's still talking about, like, man, we're done with this. He's just trying to stoke fires. I know we're talking about him. I'm just saying, you know, I'm talking about him to tell you, quit talking about him.
Person on social media who's asked me since November, Bill, what do you have to say about Stan Lee? And every paparazzi outside a restaurant who's still shouting at me, Bill, what about the Stan Lee thing? Okay, your day has come. Tonight's editorial is about Stan Lee, who, if you missed it, died in November. And a few days later, I posted a blog that was in no way an attack on Mr. Lee, but took the occasion of his death to express my dismay at people who think comic books are literature and superhero movies are great cinema, and who in general are stuck in an everlasting childhood. Bragging that you're all about the Marvel Universe is like boasting that your mother still pins your mittens to your sleeves.
Yeah, I know.
This ain't much of a burn.
No.
And then like, nobody even does that.
And surrounding himself by people just, oh, so Bill. You know, get surround himself with an audience who will only laugh because they got a fucking sign up there.
Can, if you want, like the exact same things you liked when you were 10. But if you do, you need to grow up. That
you know, that, let me just stop right there because I'm not getting this man any more attention. It's nothing more, you know. It's nothing funnier than seeing a dude who thinks he's so smart, who's the dumbest fucking person in the room.
Sure.
Who's out there just pontificating some shit with this smug attitude and missing every point and getting everything wrong, man. The shit is past being mad. The shit is past being angry. It's just funny now. You can't do nothing. You know, when a motherfucker's too stupid to know that they're stupid. I mean, what are you going to do? You know, let him have it at this point, man. You know, he's wrong. I will say the only ironic thing here is that you're telling people to grow up. Follow your own advice, man. Grow the fuck up and realize when you're saying something wrong. It's not worth – we did a whole video on Bill Maher and made several points as to why he's wrong. Gave visual examples and other things in there. And I'm sure we're not the only ones. If this motherfucker is too stupid to go out there and see any of these examples and sit back and in a mature manner say, wow, you know what? I could have been wrong. I'm sorry. Then let his dumb ass have it. If that's what he wants.
Well, he's got, because it makes him comfortable, he has this narrow view of there's people who like what they like when they were 10 and don't like anything else. It's like, hey, I can like that and classic literature. Humans actually have that capacity. They aren't just two-dimensional cartoons like you need for them to be. And I would say people, you know, his whole doing this, it's like the people who go like, psh, man, fuck the Oscars. I don't care. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
It's like, well, yeah, you kind of do. Otherwise, you just not bring it up at all.
Yeah, at this point, you're just seeking attention, man, and it's kind of sad. Yeah. I mean, you know, you're a smart guy that's too smart to be doing shit like this. If you want to get smug, be smug about shit that you know what you're talking about. Don't do it about something that you have no clue of what you're talking about. I mean, you know, it's especially sad that you surround yourself in an environment where you get little, you know, you are able to get laughs that are pretty much manufactured by the format that you have. Mm. You know, earn that shit, man. Speak truth. Earn that shit for something that's real. I'm not defending. Look, I'm not some nerd who's defending comic books, even though he is wrong about that. I mean, I do like comics. I understand that he's completely wrong. Some comics are literature.
Sure.
He's a very narrow-minded guy who doesn't understand what the fuck he's talking about. I'm just saying I'm not defending comic books in general. I'm just saying I'm defending a point that he's wrong on. You know, mm-hmm. That's it. That is it. You know, this dude. He likes black women in porn, you know. Someone could call you a creep. You know what I mean? Yeah, you know. At this point, it's pathetic because it's a guy who's really just trying to stoke the fires to get attention. And you know, just at this point, let this fool have it, man. To keep pushing like this that hard, he's that fucking homeless guy in the corner just screaming at people.
Well, a lot of the media personalities that everybody hates, Bill Maher, the Kardashians, Donald Trump, they could easily be neutralized by everyone just ignoring them.
Yeah. Isn't it funny how this guy who I admired for his opinions at one point and for being very direct with them has just turned into a complete asshole, man?
It happens with all of them eventually. You remember Dennis Miller?
I never liked Dennis Miller. I never liked Dennis Miller. And I'm not saying I didn't like him as a person. I didn't mind him. I just never got his comedy. That motherfucker would be – I didn't even do comedy to me. He would write all this jargon and smart shit down, and people would laugh because they thought they would be as smart until somebody said, I don't know what the fuck he's talking about, and it's not funny.
I knew what he was talking about. I thought he was funny.
I never liked him until
he turned into a right-wing troll.
Yeah, I never found his comedy funny. I always found it kind of smug and condescending. And, you know, it was one of those things where he just went on these monologues. And, yeah, some of them I got, some of them I didn't. But it was just kind of like, it's not me. It's not for me. So I never liked Dennis Miller. But this guy, I kind of thought, all right, you know, I like the way he takes the wind out of people. I like the way he confronts people. And actually, you know, and most of the time, you know, he's actually making a point, and when he's making those points, he's leaving those people speechless.
Yeah, but you know, that's always the thing. You like an asshole when he's on your side or attacking the people you don't like. But when he comes after you, then he's not so funny anymore.
I can actually respect somebody that I don't even agree with if they bring facts, if they talk points. When they're being a bully, just making fun of something mm-hmm. because it's an easy target. You know what I mean? That's so easy. That's lazy.
It is lazy.
That's lazy. I'm going to pick on, and it's outdated. In his mind, he thinks all society is like, oh, let me pick on these nerds and everybody's going to be on my side. You know, times have changed, man.
Yeah.
You know, it's not this high school locker, you know, put the nerd in a locker type shit anymore. You know, all people of all ages, of all types read comics, and all comics are not the same. And not all superheroes, and even some that are superheroes, are not child material. You know, they're not, you know, they're written in very mature, very intelligent ways. Just ask, you know, what the fuck you're talking about. He can hate comic books. He can say, you know, he could just, you know, I've seen people all the time saying, I don't like superhero movies now. I don't even have a problem with that because I get it.
Yeah.
You know, they can talk about superhero movies all they want to, but they're not just making up shit. You know what I mean?
Well, they're not on TV where they got to say something.
Yeah. Well, there's been some Ethan Hawke says, you know, I'm just not into superhero movies right now. And I have my opinions on why they might be. Why they might be hurting cinema right now. I might not agree, but at least he brought some points that made sense, you know, and were delivered in a mature way. This guy's like, look at you fucking nerds, you know. Get out of here, man, with that shit, you know. And can't do a fucking thing about it. Half these nerds will whoop your ass, Bill Maher. They'll put your ass in a locker. I mean, he talked about Wayne Brady trying to be smug. Wayne Brady. You know, he's not really black. And Wayne Brady said, you don't want me to be black because I will beat your ass. He actually said, I will beat Bill Maher's ass. That smug attitude will not only get you – that shit will not only make you look dumb, but that shit, he's going to get him choked out one day. he's going to say the wrong shit to somebody one day.
People don't do that anymore.
Oh, they don't?
No.
Okay, me and Bill Maher say it.
Cardi B aside, people don't do that anymore.
Oh, shit. You're lucky, Bill Maher. People don't do that anymore. If I ran into you. That's a reference early. It was very simply put. DMX is at large. Oh. He's out.
Oh, no.
Who let DMX out?
Hide your kids, hide your wife.
And DMX, like I told you earlier, DMX is like a person at large. He just pops up out of nowhere and just attacks. They found the last DMX sighting. Because you know the man, it's like DMX and Bigfoot, man. The last, and this is just, I think, yesterday, man. They found DMX just crashed a party and just start preaching to people.
Oh, no.
And in the best DMX way possible, man.
I didn't know what that meant until I read the Bible. He had his hand on me since before the womb. You think I started in the womb? He had his hand on me since before the womb. Like, oh, this nigga is going to do this. He's going to make this happen. You're going to touch this person. You're going to touch these people.
He really is that nigga that just got out of jail.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like he just thinks what he's saying is so profound.
Yeah. And meanwhile, everybody looking at him, they just drunk and they just like, hey, it's DMX.
Is that really him?
Yeah. Hey, man, this is cool.
Yo, I am God's child. I am God's child. I am God's child. It hurts sometimes.
Good.
Always a bit of guys like, he ain't got nothing to do with him. He ain't my child. He ain't my boy.
He's everybody in that room hostage.
Yeah, come on, Jesus. Let's go home.
Sometimes.
We family, man.
But it is what it is.
Run that shit.
It don't matter.
Run that shit.
See, nigga, run that shit. I am a warrior for the Lord. I'll tell him to care, nigga. I'll fuck you up in the name of Jesus.
Now that's some scripture for your ass. I will fuck you up in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Jesus, like, no, DMX, no.
That's not how
you ain't got to do that for me. I didn't preach this shit, man. Well, I guess I ain't telling him I'm an atheist. What you say? Man, DMX has turned to that old man.
I know.
That old man in the corner who get drunk and all. Come here, young blood.
I know.
Come here. You know, want to talk God only when he drunk?
Uh-huh.
You know, it's...
And just hold you hostage while you just listen, while he just rambles.
Boy.
Not even making eye contact.
No. Jesus must be doing some time upstate because everybody go to jail, find him for some reason. Everybody go to jail, somehow find Jesus or they become a lawyer. But this DMX even look a little bit older now. DMX look.
Yeah, I couldn't even tell that was him really. DMX, you got close right there.
Hey man, much respect. I'm not even talking bad about him. I'm glad that he's, you know, he's turned to a street preacher now. He really is. And that, and listen, y'all, I know some of you making fun of him, but I mean, maybe, you know, his way with words are a little different than others, but he is doing what Jesus says, you know, just go out and just preach.
Uh-huh.
You know, catch Negroes at a party. with them red Solo cups.
I'm sure if you could talk to Jesus, he would say, "I was drunk when I said that. I don't really want people out there doing that.
No, Jesus,
it's not a good look."
No, Jesus probably like, "Yeah, fuck them up. It's about time somebody said that shit." Yeah, get him, DMX. Jesus is back there, kick his ass. Can I get an amen? Yeah, I bet I beat your motherfucker. Huh? You know, I would love to have a church with him and this guy.
Bitch, I give a fuck what you're thinking. Fuck your thoughts. I'm God, and bitch, you not.
I would be at church every Sunday if they did that. Yeah, DMX.
The only church where the preacher will pull a gun on you.
Yeah. Bitch, you better repent right now.
I can't hear you.
Get your ass pistol whipped in the middle of service.
Who's next?
Hey, you feel the spirit? Well, I bet you feel this shit. Come on, man. Hey, man, shit. Yeah, DMX just got out of jail, man. Oh, and no. He's preaching the gospel. You never know. He might show up at your party. Him and Bill Murray. DMX, this is from Complex. DMX was released from the Gilmer Federal Correctional Institution in West Virginia.
Ooh, West Virginia.
West Virginia, boy. Ain't nothing but Jesus up in there. The rapper and occasional actor and preacher now will begin paying a $2.3 million restitution due to his tax evasion plea. But with reports that he had been fielding movie offers and making new music while in prison, he should have a decent shot at paying that off. So I guess he's going to be in movies too. I don't know.
$2.3 million.
$2.3 million, man.
Yikes.
Yeah. How do your taxes get that high, man?
Well, you make that much money.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I guess you make that much money and then you just lose it.
Yeah.
And then the IRS is like, yeah, well, you better find it.
Well, you're paying everybody else. You have to pay us.
And it's something about, I don't know what it is. It's something about hotel hallways that just make him crazy, man. This ain't the first time we had a DMX incident in a hallway, before look, this is good that he's out there, preaching the word of Jesus. 'Cause the last time the Negro was in a hotel, a hallway and we saw a video of it, he was taking his pants off and running around naked. Go!
Okay, what happened here?
Now, that's TMZ who got the security footage. Martin looking at this like, I edited this shit. I didn't do that, Martin. I didn't put that fucking...
You didn't put the Benny Hill music
in whoopity-woo music on there. No, I didn't put that. Martin looking at me like, man, look, I didn't edit this shit. I just downloaded, all right?
But you knew.
Shit, don't look at me. Look at the nigga running around with his pants off. I like that. You got DMX running around a hotel naked. You looking at me like, that music. And before that, early in the day, now the reason why he probably just got drunk and just started wandering the halls.
I think drunk is his default setting.
Yeah, because he was, before he made it upstairs, he was down in the lobby doing shots and preaching.
I wasn't a threat to the devil.
This is him actually preaching before he went in, man.
Before
he went to jail, yeah, he was already going along this path.
Mom, you wouldn't waste this time. Yeah. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Interfere with my life. All
All right.
If I wasn't special to God,
come on.
How would I know what he's willing to do for me?
Preach.
We know what he's able to do. Words of all things are possible.
Boy, motherfuckers will say amen to anything.
I know anything.
All you got to do,
right.
is drop God and Jesus. He could have got up there and just growled for about 15 minutes.
You just never finish your sentence.
Yeah.
So it sounds like the next thing you're going to say that you're going to drop the bomb.
Right? Oh, no. You finish your sentence, but you just drop God. You could have got there and just mumbled. But God. Amen.
Amen, brother.
But Jesus. Go! Boy, y'all just... All right. No, this fool was down the lobby before this happened. He was down there. He down there taking shots. Him and Jesus down there and taking them to the head. And before he started, before he just started being like The Shining and just wandering around the hotel and shit.
I mean, so you won't know what God is willing to do for you until you in a situation where you need Him to do it for you. So
I need you to pour me a drink right now.
Situations because it's in these
that shot glass right there. You got glass of the spirit right there.
That I become aware of what God is willing to do for me. I know what God is capable of doing. But.
Yeah, nigga, drink up. Amen. Yeah, amen.
How
yeah.
long I got to listen?
Yeah, yeah. Thank you. Amen. Yeah.
Man, no. Amen. Yeah. Yeah.
Tell you what, why don't you just wander the halls and preach this shit to somebody who need it? I'm working. Yeah, man. Look for DMX, though. He's out there. He's out there, might be bringing the spirit to you. Stay tuned.
He's going to be on the DT crew.
Yeah. Yeah. DMX and the Loch Ness Monster. You never know. Which one will you see first? Oh, it is the last thing right here. Last thing, man. I got to say this real quick before we get on out of here. We're going to do the box office real quick and get on out of here. But you. Why you laughing, man? Man, just be quick, man. Be quick, man. Be real quick. Yeah, real quick, man. Hey, real quick. Let me read you War and Peace. Just real quick, man. Just real quick. About as quick as you can read that. Man, fuck you, Ray. No, man, it's the same old shit, man. We miss you, Ray. Same old shit, Ray. Hey, you got a moment, Ray? Real quick. Hey, young blood, let me talk to you real quick. This will be quick, man, because ain't nothing to say here. Your boy Trump, damn, mad as hell. Look at him. Look like you're trying to fuck that podium right there. My dick is stuck. Somebody help me. Man, okay. Simply put, because we've been talking about some common sense things that people don't get. Of course, Trump has been talking about that wall.
Right.
We're going to have strong, incredible borders. And people are going to come into our country, but they're going to come into our country legally. They're going to come in legally. We're going to build a wall.
That was when he didn't know he was going to really be president.
Oh, right. Because, yeah, it was the next part where he says, and Mexico is going to pay for it.
And Mexico is going to pay for it. And Mexico kindly said, fuck you in that wall. They said, well, actually, they said, we're not building that fucking wall.
Yep, that's a quote.
That is a quote. And we all jump ahead and we saw what just happened. Man walked away defeated. Shut down the government for a record. What was it, 24 days, 23 days?
35.
Was it 35? Yeah. Damn. Man, you don't.
And he said, I would be proud to shut down the government for this.
Can you believe that? Proud to hold people's paychecks hostage
yeah.
over his ego.
Mm-hmm.
And. You know, this whole thing is caving in on him, man. This, you know, now that he had to walk away from Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats, where they said, look, we can talk anything else but that wall.
Right. They were Captain America. I could do this all day.
Yeah. We can say anything. Look, you can talk about these walls in the room. You know, we can talk about a metaphorical wall, but you ain't getting that wall. Get it out your mind, brother. And he had to walk away with, now I'm not even saying this because of my, you know, of my bias, but, you know, everybody from both sides, Republicans and Democrats are saying he walked away defeated with his tail between his legs and he looks pitiful now, which is only making him angrier.
Yeah. Well, whenever you antagonize him, he comes back and does something shittier.
Yeah. Something more stupid. Well, but
it's like, let's just win gracefully.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm looking at this on NBC News. I mean, you can find this anywhere, but they're talking about how exactly what we're saying, how he walked away not being able to negotiate a wall for border security. They say, we'll give you money for some security, but, you know, I don't give a fuck. You can put drones out there, whatever. You ain't getting no wall. We ain't building no Great Wall of China up here. Mm-hmm. Looking like, you know, Berlin or something, you know.
Especially since that $5.7 billion is only a down payment.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and listen, a lot of people still understand. I know that it's a bipartisan issue for a lot of people having the wall being made. For him, though, it is completely an ego project. It is one of the things that he promised to get people. He promised to get people that because he knew that his base wanted to hear that. And his whole campaign has been sold on the majority of fear and demonizing,
right,
of brown people and people of color, but especially brown people in Mexico. That's the biggest thing about this wall, man. And, you know, I know the government, they waste all kind of money. I know that. Let's be real. But it's one thing to spend the money and waste it. It shouldn't be done that way, but it is. But it's another to want to spend billions of dollars because you fed into hatred out of fear, mm-hmm. fear that you fed people. It's, you know, I don't get that. The thing that is money that is completely wasted, man, because this is a guy that wants to do it just because he doesn't want to seem wrong, and or he doesn't want to go back on a promise he couldn't deliver because he always wants to win. Why? Because it makes him look good in front of people that feed his own personal ego. He's really treating this thing like his own private game. And by the way, I'm beginning to think he's not that great at business.
Oh, no, he's terrible at business.
Yeah, everybody knows how smart he is.
No, he's had several bankruptcies. As a matter of fact, even at the time he got on The Apprentice, they had to do a lot to try to clean up his image and make him look like he was something other than he is.
Yeah.
And he buys into his own bullshit, and a lot of his ethos is never admit to losing. Just always say you win.
Yeah. You have to be terrible at business if you're just pulling numbers out your ass. Mm-hmm. I mean, the guy lies several times daily.
Yes, his story changes on a daily basis.
That is, you know, the guy's a sociopath, and the guy is you know, he's a narcissist to almost mentally ill levels. And this dude, because the numbers,
even an evil person would be embarrassed by some of the stuff he's
doing. Because these numbers that he's pulling about how crime is greater with immigrants out there is total bullshit.
Yeah.
You can go in, even one of the places I looked where they tried to be fair, factcheck.org, they went through different studies. But look, believe what you want to believe, but it still comes down to, this is a man who has to actually be able to back up his claims and can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, look, you know, at for people who want to believe that immigrants aren't the cause of the problem that he's putting out there, at worst, on a local level, people have no numbers to really back up and say whether that's true or not.
Mm-hmm.
At best, it has been proven that a lot of illegals who come here, man, they don't want to cause trouble.
Exactly. They try to keep a low profile.
Yeah, somebody going to come up and act a fool. Everybody does.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody does. I mean, name one group where somebody doesn't act a fool.
Right.
Of course somebody's going to cause trouble. But he uses that to, like, paint a picture for this overgeneralized picture of a whole group of people just so he can scare people into building this huge vanity project that's insane. At this point, and the reason why I'm bringing this up is because, you know, everybody thinks, oh, he lost. I mean, that hasn't stopped him from fighting for this wall.
Yeah, no, he's going to come back with something else.
Yeah. Don't y'all feel too much at ease. This asshole is, it's not funny, man. I keep saying it's not funny what this guy's doing. And this thing, damn, build a wall around your fucking phone, man. and this thing that he wants to, you know, where he wants to come in and build this wall is, you know, the saddest thing about it is that he knows deep down inside he ain't that crazy, where he knows that the people that he's targeting are not the real threat. He just knows that it's something that helps elevate him up for the people that he sees that adore him. Y'all need to believe what you want to believe, vote how you want to vote, you know, have your issues, but do that shit based on something that is actually more factual. Mm-hmm. Instead of really just buying it, because a lot of y'all know, because a lot of this, that's the thing, a lot of people know that this is bullshit too. They just want to convince themselves so their team will win. That's all it comes down to.
Yeah, and the wall will get built and crime won't fluctuate at all.
And they will still get over here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The people you actually want to keep out, they'll still find a way.
Planes, tunnels, ropes, they come. Look, they coming over here. I don't care.
Yeah, I know. Man, we fought our way over here and went through all these trials and lost a bunch of people, and shit, there's a wall. All right, everybody, let's just turn around and head back.
Mexicans will learn how to teleport if they have to. You ain't. There's some shit that you got.
They are an industrious people.
Yeah, yeah. If you want to actually, there's a bigger picture that we have to look at. We have to look at again. I mean, yes. Border security can be an issue. It should be an issue. We shouldn't just look at it like, you know, this is a black and white situation. Well, leave those people on them cross over. I know we got to have, you know, we have to have rules in place, but it's a bigger problem than that. Okay. How do you accommodate the people that are getting over here for legit reasons? How do you fix the problem of people who continue to hire them, get slapped with a fine when they get caught and continue? It ain't just their fault. Hey, listen, they ain't going to come over here if they ain't no jobs.
That's why I laugh when you have the Texas politician saying, yeah, I'm standing with Trump and we got to strengthen our borders and build this wall. And it's like, yeah, you know good and goddamn well it's your constituents who are using this cheap labor. Why are you fronting now? Everybody in Texas is works to our advantage.
Yeah.
So don't even play.
While you in this building giving this speech, there's a Mexican outside mowing that lawn right now who probably got over here illegally. Mm-hmm. And you ain't saying shit about it. And you know it.
He's like, oh, don't worry. I got you. You'll be protected.
Yeah, that fancy steakhouse you're going to, that shit is being sizzled by a Mexican, don't you? Use some common sense, people. The motherfuckers that are hiring them ain't the ones that are being busted because, you know, these are white, rich people that are doing it. If you really want to get to the root of the problem, talk to them. Because as long as they keep making the jobs available, these Mexicans will jump out of a fucking parachute if they have to get over here. Let's call the bullshit for where it is. Stop and use some common sense, people. It really ain't as hard as you think it is. It really is not. I mean, it might hurt for some of you newcomers out there using that brain, but I'm telling you.
I mean, sometimes there's a problem and you can fight it or you can figure out a way to work with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on, man. Greatest thing that rich people have done. Come on over here and say it. Get on the mic.
Yeah, sure.
There you go. This is Joe, everybody. Joe's hiring Mexicans today if you need a job. Come to the mic a little bit.
Oh, yeah, sure. I was just going to say, like, the greatest thing that rich people have done to stay rich is convince poor people that other poor people are the problem.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That we're just going to have this scapegoat. It's like, oh, it's not the wage gap is widening deeper and deeper, but it's not illegal immigrants that are the problem. It's the people paying to hire those people that are getting taken advantage of and causing all the jobs to go.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, you hit it right there, Joe. Joe knows.
I've got a lot of thoughts on this.
Nice, smart guy.
My wife was furloughed. So.
Okay. That's another thing, man, before I leave this alone. You know, for some of the rich people out there who were saying that, you know, you should consider this your duty to, like, not, you know, to give your checkup for a little while. You are the biggest bitch in the world to say that. you a person who has a need for nothing, a person who's set, a person who can, like, take a couple of years off and not hurt. You going to sit back and try to talk down on people and convince them, like, yeah, you take this hit for the gun. Bitch, why don't you take it? You know, why don't you give some of your money up and see how it feels? What are you sacrificing? Boulder Dash and poppycock. Yeah, get this cock in your mouth. But yeah, stop. You know, come on. Come on, man.
My wife's idea was if we're never going to have this again, if they implement a law where if the government shutdown goes for more than like 10, 15 days, then there's a continuing resolution and Congress loses 20% of its pay every day that it keeps going.
Rich people are always ready to sacrifice as long as it's yours. Not theirs. They don't pay taxes like everybody else. You know, they don't give up checks like they, and they have to go apply for food stamps or have to figure out what kind of, how to ration their groceries for the week and what they buy for their kids and what they have to buy for everything else. I mean, it's a fucking shame, man. And it's not funny. And all y'all need to get it together, because a lot of these people who still on his side, y'all are the broke ones that he's actually hurting the most.
I know.
You're fucking stupid and wake up. There ain't no other way to talk. I can't be nice about it.
I know. There's a bunch of them who are waking up now, but doesn't mean they'll stay woke by the time it's time to vote. Like, they're up in arms like, man, I thought he was going to do this. He really hurt me. But when it's time to vote, it's like, yeah, but I can't vote for a Democrat.
Yeah. Yeah. That's another thing, y'all. Just stop. You know, some people, the way this world convinces people to, like, while the rich people getting rich off of you, they're busy watching everybody else. It's like gladiators, man.
Yeah.
They're busy watching all these groups tear each other apart and fight each other over nothing.
That's over scraps.
They'll have y'all fighting over a sports team. You ain't getting nothing from that. Not a fucking thing. Except a woo and a ha. That's it. You ain't getting a check. You know. But you ready to kill somebody because they wearing a different shirt or a jersey. Fucking idiots. In the words of Napoleon Dynamite, I don't even know what's in a idiots. God. Get the fuck out of here with that, man. All right, let's go ahead and do you can stay here, Joe, since you're here. Let's go ahead and do the box office real quick so we can get on out of here. We're not going to – you know what? I'll probably read some emails to y'all. I might do it on a show here at some weeks at the house like we've been doing.
Just have a show where you're just at the house chilling, reading emails?
Reading some emails for people, man, just catching up on emails. We do some exclusive stuff. We're trying to do some exclusive stuff now. Let me go ahead, before I pull Sammy on, let me let you know about a couple of things that you probably don't know. We're starting to put up free content. Actually, we're not starting to. We are. So we have free samples of shows in here if you want it, and you can do so by looking on the site at the drop menu there. And you can see at the bottom there, I should probably move it up, but we got free shows right there. I should make it on the front page, something that you can see. And let me see here, something that you will see at the bottom of the page there, of the carousel. Might put it in this area right here where the T-shirts are. I God knows I hoe out enough shirts that you should be able to see something else right there. Also, we're doing some exclusive stuff now. Sammy came on. Let me put the camera on.
My shoulder did.
Your shoulder was on there. Over. Probably move over that way. There you go. Yeah, Sammy came on to the show that we did at my house the other day, and we did it late. We had to set up for it, so it was it came on very late, but it was because the first time we had done it. And
how late did y'all get going on that?
Probably around 10:30. Yeah.
I couldn't have made it.
Yeah, let me pull it up for you so you can see. There it is. Let me pull it up for you so you can see this. Like I said, we're trying to do some exclusive stuff. This is our first time getting into it. It's a double toasted round table. Let me see if I can actually move it up so you can see it. And it's just us having a discussion. We need to play with the lighting a little bit more, probably. We need to play
the neighbor comes in. Heard you cooking dinner right now. Christian, it's good to have you here. Denise, it is good to have you here. She brought a friend over. Oscar, don't stand up the whole time. Go ahead and get a seat, man.
That's the beginning. But we talk about last M. Night Shyamalan and his career. And
trying to convince us and them that they're not superheroes is kind of like a waste of our time. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's my biggest beef with it. But in terms of what it did, it stayed true to the DNA of what Unbreakable was, right? Because I think Miss Mia also kind of hit the nail on the head, where it's like, we are so used to the giant spectacle of something blowing up that we don't realize that, like, the deconstructed version of that is just two guys just kind of fighting in a parking lot. And they're, like, a little bit stronger, sure, but they're not, like, fucking blowing shit up left and right. So I think that is true to the spirit of it. And then, like, you know, him dying in a puddle, I get why people are mad about that, and this is going to be a super out there comparison, but like, it's No Country for Old Men, right? You watch that whole movie, and I know you're not like a huge fan of that, but they kind of confront you in the third act, right? Because you've been watching.
I'll just give you a little sample of what it looks like in the environment that we're shooting in. See you, Ray. I hope we can hang, man. I hope we can hang, but you got to get out of here. Man, we almost done. Sit your ass down, man. Yeah. Yeah, you ain't doing nothing. Shit. Yeah, sit down. Let me see here.
There you go. Be comfortable.
Yeah, let me see here.
Go home and jerk it anyway.
Yeah, but
it was a great show. It was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. Yeah, we had a good time doing that. Again, we shot that at the house, trying to give a different environment for you guys, trying to do a different format. We're just having just more of a laid back conversation. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, it was me at a very mellow tone instead of what you see here. So,
and your Twitch streams the last couple of days are really fun too. Watching those.
Oh, that's all you
Resident
come
Evil,
in.
Yeah,
yeah. Thank you for coming in, man.
That was a lot of fun last night, especially. You had Goodwin Gertz, Tony, and Chris Herman.
Yeah.
All in the same room, just riffing and playing some Resident Evil. It was a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, you're welcome really to come by, man. Okay. Yeah, you're welcome to come by whenever. We have fun doing
it,
man.
It was raining, man. I was trying to be honest with that. But, it looked like a lot of fun. No, you had the setup. It looked real good. It was running real good. And very scary stuff right there in that game, man. You were all scared. You're like, I don't want to go back in that hallway again. And it was a lot of fun to watch.
No, thank you. You came in. You're welcome to come by if you want sometimes. I mean, like, we do the stream at the house. And I have a game and discussion portion, and then we do the gaming part. So I have a two camera setup for the discussion, and then we do a green screen for the game.
Okay.
And it's a lot of fun. Goodwin and Gertz came by, and then Tony was there. Tony loves talking about zombies. So we had a real fun time. And like I said, we hit a lot of numbers. We hit 115 viewers, which is 75 is what they want for the partnership. 100 is good numbers for them to actually start taking notice and taking you seriously. 200 is where they start coming in and offering sponsorships and things like that. So I'm trying to get to 200, man. By the
1,000 is what the toasty goodness people out there can do for us. So get 1,000 of your friends.
Yes, sir.
Twitch.
They got 1,000 friends?
I do on Facebook. They only let me reach about 200, though.
Do they? Really?
Yeah, Facebook's weird like that, man. If you try to put any sort of link or anything like that, they'll cut. Like, you'll have 1,000 people, you'll maybe get 80 of them that see.
Oh, what really?
You
put up.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That's why you have friends like you never heard of them, or like you wonder where they're at, or whatever have you. Sometimes they just won't get your posts.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Okay, I know. I get a lot of fake girls on there. You know.
Well, that's because of the sites you visit, man.
Yeah. Well,
maybe you shouldn't go to freesluts.com.
You know what? They're not free, man.
That's not happening.
Yeah, you forget about that. And they're not free, man.
Oh.
You pay some kind of way.
Oh, my God. Like, not all. Get back over. Huh? That's the best part of all.
Yes.
Was not expecting that.
That gets everybody, man.
Never expected.
Hey, Joe, what do you do, man? I know you work with Martin over here, but what else do you do?
I develop reports.
Microphone.
It is very boring.
Microphone.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Okay. So, you know, in Office Space, when the guy's explaining, you know, I talk to the engineers so the customers don't have to. I have people skills. That's actually my job.
So. Okay. Oh. So you're going to burn the building one day.
You're going to beat up a printer.
No, but I'm going to get laid off, I guess.
Oh, no.
Okay. That's real.
Nah, he's good.
How long you been married?
I have been married for a year.
For a year? Congratulations. I'm just slightly ahead of you. I've been married for a year and a half.
It's fun. Isn't
did it already happen?
It's a year and a half. Yeah, I'm actually no. And you know what? I mean, it has a moment, but no. For the most part, it's,
oh, and you only just got started.
Yeah. No, for the most part, it's a good time, man. It really is. So,
fuck's Carlos over there? Carlos, you ain't married, dude.
I know Carlos talking about because Carlos trying to steal me from her. That's why.
It's like me, Carlos, and Ray are the only ones that have no say in this shit whatsoever.
I've been married a year and a half. Yeah. It won't last.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
Yeah, I'll be waiting. Oh, you got any kids? Our kid yet?
No,
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Just the cat.
All right. Just the cat. All right. That's what we say. We have our dogs right now. That's changing soon, though.
Big don't dress.
Sammy, let's go ahead and get into this. Let's get into the.
Oh, it's the Mexicans next door.
Oh.
They've been playing mariachi music like very quietly. It's like.
Everybody talks about mariachi music, that's the first thing they go to.
Mexican hat dance.
Mexican hat dance.
It's easiest thing.
Gotta love respectful volume mariachi music.
You kidding me? Shit, I used to live next to some people, fucking 8 a.m. They would just start playing the music on their big loudspeakers. It would go from 8 a.m. to like 1 at night. It was ridiculous, man, on the weekends.
Man.
That's why I kind of don't like mariachi music, because every time it's boom, 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 boom. It's the same shit over and over again.
Right, dun.
That's how it ends, and then it starts over. Boom, 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 boom. It's quite awful.
I hear you.
Sometimes. Oh. The times I'm into it, I'm all drunk on tequila.
That's kind of sexy, Sammy.
Oh yeah.
You ever go over to? You ever go to what's that place called?
Glorious.
Glorious.
Never made it.
Really? Never.
Never made it up there because they only have it in the Domain now, where they dance on Saturdays.
Do they not have it anymore on 6th Street?
No, they don't.
Oh.
And the one person that always tries to get me to go is a Canadian Nigerian dude with emo.
Oh, emo.
Emo.
He's like, let's go to salsa night, bro. I'm like. Of all people? Sure, let's go. But I never actually met with him to go.
Carlos yeah, it's likes good. It. I know he does. He likes everything.
Nah. Carlos has like a dancing Carlos history.
Carlos loves everything. Oh.
Carlos is like, I mean, he'll tell the story later, but he's like the spawn of good dancers.
Really?
Yeah. Like apparently his parents are like wonderful salsa dancers.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Well, man, shit, maybe I will marry you. I mean, you put the moves on me. You know? So what is going on with the top five? And by the way, this is the top five box office. And just because you're in the top five doesn't mean you're on top. More ways than one this week. And let's go ahead. Oh, we're going to get, like I said, we're going to get through this very quickly. I'm going to go through them. And let's start out. Let me see here. Martin said that he saw them.
Yep.
He says it's boring.
Pretty boring. He says not much different than last week.
Boring punk. Well, Martin, let's start out with number five. What is it, sir?
Spider-Man.
Yes, sir. Into the Spider-Verse. Spider-Man. Weekend gross, $6.1 million for a total gross of $169 million. That's after week seven. And that's on a budget of $90 million. You think this reached $200 million?
Yeah. Me reach $200 million? Probably not, because it's going to start picking up. But, mm-hmm. I mean, it's less than a million away from beating Hotel Transylvania 2 for the highest grossing Sony movie. Sony animation movie, I should say. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this is not worrying about anything. This is the movie that Bumblebee wanted to be, where it had a deep run into January and made the money. And that one just fell off the wayside because this was just so visually stunning. It was very good. So, and then you got the Oscar buzz with it as well. So.
And people are still talking about it. I just hear random conversations of people still going on about this.
Yeah.
People just catching it for the first time. Like, why did I not see this sooner?
Or catching it for the second time. That's what I hear a lot of.
Yeah, I saw it twice.
Nice.
And I seldom see movies twice in theater.
Yes. The same here, man. If I see a movie twice, and that means that it's got to be good. don't ask anybody else. Ask me. you just laugh like, yeah, that's bullshit. Yeah.
I saw it twice, but I actually stumbled into the wrong theater.
All right, let's go to number four. What's the number four movie, sir?
The Kid Who Would Be King, which I guess you did not go see.
I didn't go see because of the being number four.
Okay.
We can gross $7.2 million on $59 million.
$59 million
budget.
I do not know where that money went because this movie is cheap.
Really?
Yes. I was giving it points, going like, "Well, you did a lot with a tiny budget, but $59 million, dude."
Yeah, that's the thing. Where
that's Andy Serkis's kid, man. You know, he got a lot of money, and this kid don't come cheap.
That's the thing. Where it's like you think, "Oh man, this movie's good. This movie's fine for a smaller budget, but $59 million, you're never going to make that back." And I want to imagine they probably thought this was trying to be something like a Percy Jackson or something where kids would go see this over and over again. But I think they kind of gauged that this wasn't going to be that movie, so they jumped in January and did the best they could.
Yeah. That's why I didn't go see it, because I thought I didn't think it was actually going to be higher. But just in case, I said, I'll go check it out. But then they said that this today they say the difference between a flop and a bomb. Bomb is when you just fail completely. A flop is when you did okay in some places, but overall your box office numbers weren't good.
Yeah, I mean, $7.2 million, they're not even gonna get close to making that up. It's gonna be gone next week.
Yeah,
nothing's coming out next
week. That's why they said critically people liked it,
right?
But just couldn't make the money back, man. Just something that didn't have any names. People could see the effects weren't all that great.
Yeah.
And, man, King Arthur just saying, of all the bad King Arthur movies that we're getting, it's just kind of now people see.
Yeah, the name is tarnished.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so this didn't seem to have a chance. So, yeah, they say it's a flop. And let's go over, Martin, to the number three movie, sir.
Aquaman.
Still in there. Still in there, man. Oh, he's still here. He ain't leaving. Aquaman.
The other king.
There you go. Yeah. The wet one. $7.3 million. Now, that take is lowering every week, but after 6 weeks and it gaining $316.5 million on a $200 million budget, well, who can complain now?
It's the largest DC movie ever. Highest grossing now. It's the, what was it, the third largest WB movie worldwide, 25th highest grossing movie of all time, worldwide.
Worldwide.
So this movie has nothing to complain about. This made a lot of money.
Man, look, it's not even because I didn't like the movie as much as other people. You saw it. You liked it, right?
I didn't see it. I actually never got a chance to see it. I went and saw Glass instead.
Oh, okay. And but, you kind of liked Glass, right?
I was okay. Yeah, it was fine. Yeah. It was fine. But the idea was that this is a fucking Aquaman movie.
I know.
Of all things, Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, fucking Martian Manhunter, you think would make more money than an Aquaman movie. But this movie captivated people.
I'm telling you, man, people, they want to see an Aquaman movie done right, or at least done decent, because Aquaman has been made fun of so much.
Well, I think that's the last kind of thing. We've seen space battles. We've seen ground battles.
Yeah.
I don't think we've ever seen water underwater battles, you know? So, sure, why not?
And you know what? Like I said, I have no – I mean, I'm not saying this because of what I thought about the movie. You know, I wasn't crazy about it, but I didn't know it was going to be this big.
I don't think anybody really did. I thought it was going to do fine, but better than, you know, Wonder Woman, better than Batman. Any Batman movie, even the Nolanverse, like this is outperforming everything that I think they even thought, you know. Critically, whatever it may be, it's made all the money it wanted.
I'm laughing. Chris is
Captain now.
Aquaman to Batman. Look at me. I'm the captain now. But how long was it that movie came out? And that meme is still going strong.
That is a great line, though.
It was.
That's a great line in cinematic history.
It was. All right. Let's go. Let's see what we got here. Let's go to the number two movie, Mr. Thomas, sir.
The Upside.
Number two. Wow, was it number two last week?
Yep.
Okay, we didn't budge. $12.2 million for a total gross of $63 million after 3 weeks, and that's on a budget of $37.5 million. Kevin Hart still big box office draw. And the thing is, he's supposed to be. Would you consider him the supporting character here or the main character?
Kevin Hart?
Yeah.
Co-star.
Yeah, it's pretty equal.
Okay.
I mean, it only dropped 18.4% this week, but this was competing against a raising budget with the – what are you saying?
I'm just making another line I laugh at. Martin, not because I'm making fun of you, Martin. I said Martin gave Suicide Squad a rental, yet gave Aquaman some old bullshit. The North remembers. That line always gets me, man. The North remembers.
But this movie is making a bunch of money just very quietly. This is the ultimate counter-programming that ended up working out. But what I was saying before I left off was that Green Book started getting a lot more
It rose up.
Theaters because of the Oscar screenings or the Oscar buzz around it. So they put it in a bunch more theaters. So this kind of held that off a little bit. So Kevin Hart and Bryan Cranston have a little bit of a hit on their hands. And so
it's nice. You know, I went crazy about the movie, but good for them.
Yeah,
man.
I mean, now Kevin Hart fans can be like, oh, see, he does serious fare and he's good at that. He made a lot of money. So.
Hey, he was, I don't know. You didn't see the movie.
I didn't see
the movie. What do you think about it? I mean, is this more of a lean towards seeing Kevin Hart maybe doing dramatic role? Because he was still kind of Kevin Hart in this, right?
It's the most dramatic he's been.
Okay. That's fair. All right, Martin. Number one.
Glass.
There you go, people.
Just the way you said it.
$19 million this weekend for a total gross of $73.6 million over 2 weeks. And that's on a $20 million budget. So say what you will about it. All the critics are tearing this apart. Even word of mouth is not that good. But for some reason, people are still going to see this, and it's doing well.
Yeah, no, this we talked about it where, yeah, critically it may not be the best, but it's made its money back and then some.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as you keep the budget down, I mean, I think he'll be okay. I think, you know, we kind of had a discussion about whether he'll be able to recover from this, but you look at the numbers.
That's recovering,
To recover from, you know.
Yeah,
it's more so like, will you trust him with $100 million? No, but if you give him $20 million and he makes it $100 million, then let's go ahead because Shyamalan will sell – that type of movie just off his name.
I'm glad. Look, the movie didn't succeed in all parts, in my opinion, if you say our review. But I'm glad that it's doing well. Mm-hmm. I mean, I like the world that he's created. And he did do it out of – maybe he didn't do it well, but he did do it out of
– He had an idea.
It wasn't him, like, trying to make a buck. It wasn't him trying to, ride off some sort of a cinematic wave that's going on, a success. That's his idea.
Yeah, it was 19 years in the making. You make a movie that old that kind of just so happens to coincide with what the future brings. You know, he really can't control that. But then making a movie that's trying to analyze things that we've all seen before, at least in the last, you know, 20 years interim, then you're not going to get a movie that people are really excited about.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I gave it a rental for the things that it did fine.
I gave it a good rental probably. Yeah. I never actually gave it a rating, but yeah, it's a good rental.
Yeah, yeah. All fun right. Rental. Well, we said top five, but every now and then, Somebody gets kicked out the litter.
Man, you just had it in for this one. You couldn't wait for it to come out at the spot it did.
Hey, Martin.
You could have left it alone.
Martin.
Let it go lick its wounds. And
Martin, we report on the new movies in the box office. This is a new movie.
2,500 theaters.
Yeah. Now, why would we leave it alone, Martin? We don't look.
Just leave him alone.
No, Martin. I'm sorry, Martin. This has to be. I'm sorry. It has to be done. You know what? I'm not cheating for that. You don't even deserve that music right there. Serenity, 2019 weekend gross on that is $4.8 million on $25 million. Now we say January is changing, but they really did dump this movie.
Yeah, this was big budget. Matthew McConaughey. They thought this was something, and then it wasn't. It was nothing. Yeah. I mean, they had him running around. They had him running around doing Colbert. They had him running around doing all the talk show circuit. And he's like, "Yeah, it's a very serious movie, and it's just stupid from what you guys made it sound like."
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, ain't no way around it, man. Yeah, it's
like Fisherman Sim 2009.
Like I said, man, if that could say anything nice, I think that was a bold move to do this project for everybody involved, you know.
It was.
That's all I'll say.
The way it starts, you definitely don't see where it's going to end up.
You really don't. That's like I said.
It's also bold to storm Fort Knox. It doesn't mean I'm going to go do it.
No.
I mean, like.
But this is why I love really bad movies. You do them like this. As long as you can keep me guessing, keep surprising me.
Fuck you. It's January.
That's from another video.
Robbie Scott Lindsay.
Yeah. Endless trash.
Oh. Yeah. They say, look at the look on their face to say it all. That's what Skull said. Hey, Martin, ain't nothing I did that this movie didn't do to itself. Yeah, but
$4.8 million.
I know. See, every now and then, Martin's a good guy. Martin will take pity on something when he thinks they're trying. He's quick to give them ease for that effort. Yeah, man. That is it. I'm gonna go through this quick list of emails where people say
Carell didn't get a hold of you.
No, he got a hold of me yesterday.
Yeah.
My pick for overlooked movie, Christopher Ayers. I'm not going to read his whole email, but he says, I knew somebody was going to pick this one. I didn't think the movie was that good. That's why I didn't put it in my list. Bad Times at the El Royale.
Nah.
And by the way, I picked movies that were critically acclaimed. That was not.
Nah, Upgrade was up there for me last year. That shit was fascinating.
Yeah.
It was just fun.
Yeah.
You know, you get a movie like that.
C.J. Stevenson sent me this. Sorry to Bother You. You know, I didn't put Sorry to Bother You on there because it did get a lot of attention. I think it performed to its capacity, you know, what people expected it to do. But I do love that movie. Hereditary. Hereditary did well, man. Hereditary, that was not underrated. It got critically acclaimed and it also made money. It didn't get nominated for anything, I don't think, but, you know, mid-90s. Mid-90s I could put in there. Some people say it was a good effort. Bumblebee. You're right about Bumblebee. I thought, but you know, it was hard to tell because Bumblebee was in there for a little while.
Yeah.
Then it just disappeared.
And they've greenlit another one, so it should be fine.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's gonna be okay. Yeah. What about The Hate U Give? You think that's overlooked?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I would have put in there.
Yeah. So we missed that one. That's a good one right there. Because we really liked that movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was kind of gone quickly. You watch movies, John?
Yeah, yeah.
Lots. Any underrated movies?
Well, one I was going to say, but now it's kind of getting noticed because of Oscar nominations, is a Cold War.
I thought about that one too, but now it's got an Oscar nomination.
Yeah,
I was
like, yeah. All
right. So yeah, we get kind of taken out when they get an Oscar nomination. Let me see here, Carl Cooper. Come on, Corey. Oh, here's another one. Let's see. This other guy was so nice about it. Carl Cooper. Come on, Corey. This was a major snub, especially in supporting actor with Russell Hornsby. I agree with you. Should have remembered that one. But I don't know. Maybe I liked it so much that that's why I forgot about it.
Which one?
Hate U Give.
The Hate U Give.
Oh.
Yeah, it's good. They're getting out of here because they are gone. They're about to saw through the wall. Yeah.
It's like they think a bank vault is over here.
Yeah, let's see. Corell Buford. We'll try to call just real quick. Oh no! No, man, we got to do this. Corell Buford. You don't know who Corell Buford is, man. Maybe we'll get. Let me see if we can. No, no. That's not what I wanted. No, mama, no. Oh, just give me a second here, Ray. This guy, somebody said Kinky should be in there. Oh, yes, Kinky. You have to believe that. Ray, you got to see this guy, man.
He's the coolest ever.
He really is. He really is. Hold on.
Currently right now.
Let me see if I can actually.
You're going to want to have him at one of your shows.
Rap shows, man. He is a performer.
Let me see if I can reach him.
I don't know.
He did get a hold on me. Correll Buford. Let me see if he'll pick up.
The number you are calling does not accept unidentified calls. If you are a solicitor, please hang up.
All right. Well, so much for that. Ray, you got lucky, man. Be like, oh, my God. I will get a hold of him tonight, and I will get him on maybe Tuesday's show. He gave me a number. I guess that number is y'all are free to talk anytime after 11 a.m. My number, and he just gave it to me. Thank you. So I'll text him, and I'll get him on for Tuesday. See if we can get him on for Tuesday.
Okay.
That'll be fun. All right, y'all. People are like, please pick up. Please pick up. Sorry, y'all. All right, y'all. That is it. We are out of here. Thank you so much. What's that? We're done. Yeah. You're free. Go. Get out. If you have another asthma attack.
Oh, no.
Hopefully this one will work.
Damn. Come on, Cedar. Come on, Cedar.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Joe, thank you for coming in and being a guest here, man.
Thanks for having me.
I appreciate it.
I really love the show. Glad to be on it.
I hope we weren't too offensive. I know I used some choice words here today.
For the record, though, I do not do heroin.
Oh, wow. So yeah. I'm really disappointed to hear that, man.
Just in case this comes up, I'm running for office or something.
He's more of a crystal meth guy.
Yeah. I got to skip over the like easy ones.
At least Ritalin. At least a mild Ritalin addiction.
I like the way you think somebody down the line is going to take this shit seriously. Well, they said he did heroin. It must be true. Bro, no one's going to think you did heroin, man.
The president fucked porn stars, bro. You're fine.
Yeah. Well,
if you're in for president, you're on track.
They can clip things, you know. I've seen deep fakes.
Shit, by the time you run for office, you'll probably be required to do heroin.
That's true.
Yeah, so, you know, don't look down on that, man. You know,
okay.
Jesus, get off your high horse, man.
Yeah. I was one with the opioid crisis.
No, I am the opioid crisis. Thank you, Joe. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ray, thank you for coming. Carlos, fuck you, man. Man, what did he not do to me, man? And thank you, Martin Thomas.
You bet.
I appreciate it. Featuring Martin Thomas as the Cat Daddy.
But of course.
And he's supporting.
Best supporting.
He's guest starring.
Yeah. I'm like a cameo. I'm like Stanley.
But hey, y'all, we'll see you later. Thank you so much. We're getting out of here now. But before we do, as I said, we're always thinking about you. So do not hesitate, whether we're streaming or not, to pop open the keyboard and type in for us, kcoolmans@gmail. Oh, shit.
That was the music.
Where is it? It's like it's not playing it. I don't know what's. Yeah, it's weird, man. It's not playing it.
Is your mute button on the volume?
No. Let me pull it back and do it again. Like I didn't. Let me see. All right. Everything was like it's supposed to be. Let's try again.
Beat it.
Oh, make it. Keep doing it, Martin. There you go, Martin. You got it going.
What?
Yeah. kcoolmans@gmail.com. That's KC. Let me turn it up. kcoolmanz@gmail.com. You email us if you ain't got questions, comments, compliments, insults, input, and our advice. Want to be part of the show today? I'm asking too. Well, in that email, just phone number. You just got contact in that person. Bam! Up in your home. Oh, you want to see? Bam! There you go. Up in your home. Bring spirit to you. All hosts of the world. That's called on Instagram. Double_toasted. On Facebook, type in double_toasted. Want some prop time with me? Type in cord.coleman.5. I'm too busy to bring spirit to you. Mr. Martin Thomas.
Find me on Twitter and Instagram at Martin_NoPro or look for Martin Thomas on Facebook. If you're on Facebook, you should join the group, The Children of the Toast, where you might also find the Mexcellence himself.
Sammy Gonzalez DT on Facebook, the Mexcellence on all other forms of social media. Side effects may include leukemia, lymphoma, diabetes testing supplies, and anal leakage.
Oh, Corey, I want that, man. The anal leakage,
that's
yes.
Lester, remember that?
Oh, yes.
That was the worst.
Speaking of anal leakage, check out these two stanky ass couches up in here in the world famous Double Toaster Studios. Carlos, look what leaked out my ass. Come on down here and join us. Just let me know. Come see his show. Email me, kcoolmans@gmail.com. Some details. Give me some details. We can accommodate you. All right, everybody. That is it. Good night. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Whenever you are listening to or you are watching this, goodbye and stay toasty. Give me a thumbs up, Joe. Yeah. I'm on heroin right now.
That's my official white guy pose. I'm not threatening.